Fed can just print more money out of thin air, but the government's always going to be in debt to the Fed. Oh.
Everybody has questions that aren't being answered.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a more unique episode of Dangerous World Podcast. Really excited to share this with you guys, man. We were talking amongst ourselves, a few of us, and we wanted to do an episode about the topic of the third eye. Is it good to open? Tune in and find out, okay? I come at this personally from the perspective of, you know, should us as humans really know everything that goes on behind the scenes that these elites, you know, the information that these elites try to keep from us, should we actually know the information? My heart says yes. But it says no at the same time. You know what I mean? It's very interesting. It's a complex topic. And that's why I thought that this was fun. And I had a few friends that were really excited to get into this whole thing. So it was really cool. Not everyone was able to make the show, but nonetheless, it ended up being really, really cool. We had myself, obviously, I was hosting the whole deal. New York Patriot and Lux of the Occult Rejects podcast were on board as well. Ghost from My Third Eye podcast. And who else did we have? Colorado Dank as well, who does not have a podcast yet, but he probably will pretty soon. It was great, man. It was a really fun show. We had two others, like I said, that were going to make it, but it just didn't work out. We'll be doing probably some sort of follow-up in some way, shape, or form. This was a longer episode, though. And if you haven't seen it on YouTube, if you don't watch podcasts on YouTube, like myself, here's the audio file for you. I did want to give some extra kind of content up front here because I came across something that was very interesting. But before I get into that, just want to say thank you to everyone that hopped on to do this conversation. You know, the Occult Rejects, Lux and New York Patriot, they come at things from a unique perspective, as does Colorado Dank, as does Ghost from My Third Eye and myself. You know, we all see things very, very differently. And the discussion of opening your third eye, should we know this information that it seems has some sort of divine, I don't know if you call it divine intervention. There's some sort of forces that don't want the average shit kicker, knuckle dragon moron like myself to know the information, right? There's a lot of shit that we're just not supposed to know. So I find it fascinating, the topic. You know, it goes back to that whole idea, if you're a Christian, if you believe in Eve being seduced in the Garden of Eden, where the serpent comes up and says, you know, you'll know everything, blah, blah, blah. You know, you'll gain a bunch of consciousness and you'll evolve and all this bullshit. Who knows? You know, I'm not the best Christian. I find myself more agnostic than anything, as you probably know. But she takes the bite of the apple and starts, you know, realizing that she's naked and she feels shame. And instead of just being like a carefree spirit, right? This is kind of the road that I was going down and the way that I wanted to present it. But of course, when you get a bunch of different minds together, you find different information and you discuss these things. And I think that that's something that even this community that prides themselves in thinking independently really lacks. I think that we could do a lot more friendly debating, right? Next episode after this is actually a really fun debate between Moral Bob and my cousin and former co-host Brandon. You know, they debated. Brandon was on the side of big government and Bob was on the side of anarchy. So it was a fascinating discussion. I think that the correct answer in that whole thing lies somewhere in the middle. I don't think that any extremes are ever the answer. I don't think anarchy works, and I don't think big government works, but that's just me, okay? Our government has sure lost its way, though, hasn't it? And I want to get into this whole topic. Speaking of opening your third eye, I see it more, for me personally, someone that doesn't really tend to believe too much in magic, which I know that that might sound ignorant to some, especially people like the occult rejects, who I respect. You know, I respect their work, and I think that they go out of their way to really bring some interesting information to the world, right? I don't know if I understand it the same way, and I probably don't, and they'll probably tell you that I don't too, right? And that's fine. There's some things that I understand on a different level than them, and I think that that's what makes this whole kind of thing very interesting. Discussions like this. So I see the whole opening of your third eye as having a healthy amount of cynicism or nihilism, not being fully on board with that. You know, I mentioned Moral Bob talking with Brandon. He seems very cynical, almost to the point where it's like, damn, dude, it's tough to be happy, right? And I'm not saying I have no idea. I don't know a whole lot about Moral Bob, but I know he's a good guy, and I know that what he does works for him. Same with Brandon, right? Brandon's a cynic in his own way, but the reason I bring that up is because people have blind spots when it comes to society, when it comes to politics, when it comes to their leaders, and it's fascinating to me, and that's what I think opening your third eye is. At least it's the more relevant way to see things, in my humble, dumb opinion, okay? Now, a lot of people in this political sphere are really, really polarized. Now, yes, a lot of conspiratorial-minded people are kind of like, yeah, fuck the left, fuck the right. I want Tulsi to win, or I want Ron Paul, who, I mean, let's face it, guys, come on. Any actor at that level is probably just feeding you bullshit. I see some of the most intelligent people that actually pride themselves in their intelligence, probably a little too much, thinking that Ron Paul is the fucking answer, the end all be all. He's the dream politician. No, he's not. No, he's fucking not. He would have gotten in and either gotten killed, or he would have fucking, you know, just bend the knee. Kind of like, in my humble opinion, Donald Trump did. Now, I don't know if this man's going to come back in 2024 and change the country, or just run it into the ground, or if he's going to come back at all. That remains to be seen. And the reason that I bring him up again is because of the blind spots. Now, there's a scandal that popped up that National File brought forward. Patrick Howley, who runs National File, if I'm not mistaken. Okay. Now, I heard this audio clip that I'm about to play for you on the Stu Peters show. My buddy Ghost is probably going to laugh when he hears me bring up Stu Peters, but it's an interesting show. I think that what Stu Peters does for right now, until he changes my mind, I think he is legitimately trying to educate the population and try and get more people, not only on the side of God and Jesus, because he promotes that a lot, more so than I'm comfortable with, but I may be wrong about that whole thing. Okay. I'm sort of finding my Christian faith slowly, and I want to get there. I'm not trying to be hesitant about it. I see a lot of problems with the way that Christians are treated in the world today, big time. Muslims too, right? The Uyghurs in China, say no more. But anyway, this Patrick Howley of National File, talks about this scandal going on with the University of Pennsylvania. They were caught with some pretty corrupt contracts with the big pharmaceutical companies that are behind the you know what. Okay. Now, there's someone else that's involved with the University of Pennsylvania, and I'm sure that you can probably tell. I'm telegraphing this to you right now. Now, there's this Penn Biden Center out of the University of Pennsylvania, and they are massive, massive money players. And it's kind of similar to the Clinton Foundation, not the Clinton administration, the Clinton Foundation. Fascinating stuff. corrupt deals, you know, you can see a lot of similarities when it comes to, you know, the FBI not wanting Clinton to enter the White House. And so they threw a wrench in the whole thing. And this is why Trump was brought in, or so we're told. But removing the blind spots, I want to play this clip for you. And I want to sort of break down my thoughts on it really quickly. And even though this is brought to light on the Stu Peters Show, and even though Stu Peters is pretty darn critical of Trump, he's questioning why he's endorsing Vernon Jones, why he's promoting the clot shots, why he's promoting all the stuff that Stu Peters himself doesn't seem to agree with. And again, I question everybody, man. I question myself day to day, okay? Minute to minute, honestly. Sometimes I'm like, am I fucking crazy? The answer is probably yes. But more importantly, am I being lied to? Am I following someone down a bad path? Are you following people down a bad path? Am I leading people down a bad path? I don't consider myself a leader, but I know that my little show here has a little bit of influence, that at least, you know, some people talk about it amongst their friends or family or even other podcasters. So I want to be responsible the way that I do things. And this is not a disclaimer. I'm not trying to walk anything back that I've ever said. I just find this fascinating that Stu Peters doesn't bring up the involvement of this party that I will bring up after this recording. So again, this is the Penn Biden Center. It's a longer clip than I usually would ever play on the show. It's about 2 minutes, 20 seconds long, but it's valuable information, and want to play it through. And then I will give my comments at the end here and sort of elaborate on what I'm discussing.
All of this down for us.
Thank you, Stu. I know it might come as a surprise to your viewers that Joe Biden has a think tank, because it doesn't seem like a lot of thinking is going on. But the Penn Biden Center is very similar to the Clinton Foundation. It's one of these outside groups where the Biden administration people go in and out. For instance, the current Secretary of State, Tony Blinken, was the managing director of the Penn Biden Center. So between 2017 and 2019, Joe Biden's job ostensibly was working for the University of Pennsylvania. He was paid over $900,000. Now, as I just reported exclusively, the University of Pennsylvania during this time signed a licensing agreement that gives them money from BioNTech, one of the makers of the Pfizer BioNTech vaccines. And what happens is, I have the SEC licensing agreement. I have all the documents from Penn. I have all the documents from BioNTech. They get milestone payments. The more of these Pfizer-BioNTech vaccines that get sold, the more money that floods into the University of Pennsylvania. And the University of Pennsylvania general funds go and finance the Penn Biden Center, which is Joe Biden's think tank. And so this revolving door Penn Biden Center that develops the policy for the Biden administration, and you can look at current Biden administration officials who came from the Penn Biden Center, they are amassing a massive budget because they are getting, in the words of my source, possibly billions of dollars from the sale of Pfizer-BioNTech vaccines, which means that Joe Biden personally has a financial massive conflict of interest. Not only that, but they get a milestone payment every single time the FDA authorizes one of the Pfizer-BioNTech vaccines. So Joe Biden's FDA is approving these vaccines, okay, even though the FDA knew about all the adverse events for children stemming from the Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine. They approved it anyway, and there's a bunch of Pfizer cronies on their advisory board, okay? So Joe Biden's FDA is approving this. Meanwhile, Joe Biden's personal think tank, which he can go back to at any time after his presidency, and the budget is there waiting for him, they are getting rich off of this. Nobody's ever reported this, and now it's out there. Sleepy Joe is busted.
Okay, so there was a lot there. They mentioned Secretary Blinken, right? He is raising a lot of questions in the conservatives' minds. But why didn't they bring up Donald Trump? Why didn't they bring up Donald Trump? Of course, he did graduate from the Wharton School of the University of Pennsylvania. Not a lot of people know that. But if you've listened to the show before, and if you've listened to the Patriot, the Pilgrim Society episode, the first one, I believe, is where we talked about. No, it was actually the second one, where my audio was fucked up. Donald Trump is allegedly, maybe, if you know, the whole idea of like the skull and bones thing, right? This is the one that gets a lot of attention. There's something called the Sphinx Senior Society based out of Pennsylvania, the University of Pennsylvania. Okay. Weird little thing. and you get some weird symbolism in there. Okay, now if you go to Donald Trump's Wikipedia, you know that famous military picture where it's, you know, he's graduating military school, the New York Military Academy. He graduated from that in 1964. However, he did go and spend his last 2 years at the Wharton School of the University of Pennsylvania. He graduated in May 1968 with a BS in economics. Okay, so Michael Cohen also has some ties with the board of Pennsylvania, University of Pennsylvania. So, do you remember the Bush-Kerry election where it was skull and bones? No matter who won that election, it was skull and bones. If I'm not mistaken, that was 2004. And I might sound retarded here, but I think that was 2004. This is the same shit when Biden ran against Trump in the 2020 election. No matter who won, it's likely that they were both Sphinx Senior Society members. It's fascinating to think about. We're getting a lot of repetition from those early 2000s and the 90s as we are today. I just did a Super Bowl halftime and the whole symbolism behind the leading up to it. Actually, I thought we did pretty good. I heard some other analysis of the Super Bowl, and it was kind of dull, I think, the way that a lot of people broke it down, not throwing any shade. That's why I'm not mentioning any names. We picked up some things for not being experts in symbolism that no one else did. Okay, so check that out if you haven't. That's a shameless plug for the Patreon. It's under the rant tier, that $5 tier. Patreon.com/dangerousworldpodcast. It's an interesting thing. And it, to Kim's credit, that was mostly her that found a lot of that stuff. I was mostly looking at the commercials and what kind of shit they were talking about in those. But Kim found some very, very interesting things with the halftime show as a California native herself. Some things that most people just simply didn't pick up on. But back to this whole Trump and Biden thing. Trump started this whole deal with the warp speed and all this shit, right? And now it's passed over to Biden. So Biden's meant to look like the asshole. The Penn Biden Center of the University of Pennsylvania is this, you know, Achilles heel of the Biden administration. It may be something that causes some serious problems when they want to remove him. Now, National File is the only site that is supposedly reporting on this, as far as I know. Very, very interesting stuff, but Trump's not mentioned. Why? You got to ask yourself this. And this is what I think about when I start thinking about the third eye shit. You're not getting both sides of the story ever. And I'm not going to act like I don't have my biases at all. I mean, everyone does. That's what's laughable when you see these multimillionaire anchors and these politicians that act like their biases aren't going to get in the way of the way that they break shit down. But my bias is for humanity. It's for the people, dude. Like I legitimately think that populism should win. It should, by definition, it should win. Democracy is never going to work, but populism can absolutely work. Democracy is just mob rule. I've talked about this ad nauseum. So with that being said, I don't want to drag this on too much because this is a very long episode. Very, very entertaining, though. I thought that it was awesome. But I was kind of a little thrown off by that whole breakdown of that. You know, this side that is kind of acting very skeptical and sketched out of Donald Trump having a massive blind spot. And again, to their credit, maybe they don't know that he transferred to the Wharton School of the University of Pennsylvania. Same school. Not, you know, Biden didn't have anything to do with Wharton that I know of. Now, that might be something that I missed. But he's got some serious ties to Pennsylvania and the University of Pennsylvania, doesn't he? So these guys are buddies, man. These guys are buddies. Allegedly, they're both Jesuits, right? I think Amy says WTF was someone that brought that up. And I think she's brought that up a few times. I've never spoken with her, but she seems to have some pretty darn interesting information too. But man, I haven't seen anyone fucking talking about this. The 2020 election was literally a skull and bones Bush versus Kerry 2.0 type situation, no matter who won that. And clearly they wanted Biden to win, it seems, right? But clearly whoever won that, the agenda was going to move forward. And I think that it makes it very, very easy for Trump to come back after Biden just runs this country into the ground, because that's what's happening. Let's face it. The shelves are going to be fucking empty with this whole trucker strike, which sure does seem like a psyop of some kind. Again, open your third eye. I don't see that as trying to find interesting information or get spiritually enlightened. I see it as, first we need to get like enlightened in the real world and know what the fuck's going on in the real world, and then maybe we can get some spiritual enlightenment. But until then, you guys are just fucking tripping if you think that you're gonna fucking be able to really get shit done without finding out what's going on here in the fucking third or fourth amendment, whatever the fuck we're in. So it's frustrating and it's interesting. Me, who I do not consider an intelligent individual, can spot these things. I don't know. I guess that's why you guys listen, though, and I appreciate it. So I shouldn't bitch too much. I hope that you spread this information. I'm going to ask a new thing of you guys, too, now that I'm going to roll into my my plugs, and then we will get into this phenomenal episode with a few of my good friends. I want to ask in a new thing every episode. I want you guys to tell one friend about each episode that you think is great. If you like the show as a whole, tell a couple friends. Send it to them, whether they use Android, send them Spotify, you know, get them listening to this stuff, man. Because the only way, and not only my show, other shows too. Start with my show, but then go to other shows, okay? Send people this shit. Because if every one of you guys tells one person, dude, they can't fucking win. The enemies can't win. The enemies of humanity and the enemies of freedom just can't win. If everyone knows this information. So not just the Trump shit, but just, you know, all the information that me and my friends talk about. Again, not this episode alone, but all these other podcasts that put out great work, whether it's Hidden History, whether it's Alternative History, whether it's political, geopolitical, whether it's fucking secret societies, whether it's, you know, spirituality, no matter what it is. If we're all kind of finding out this information, there's just no fucking way that they can win. So spread the word. Not only for Dangerous World, but the other shows that are present here. You've got My Third Eye Podcast. You've got The Occult Rejects. Who else? There's one other podcast. I'm fucking buzzing right now. I know the Colorado Dank was on too. Let's see here if I can get through this without my phone dying. I mean, there's so many. I mean, you know, I didn't want to bring up the shows that we're going to hop on this episode, but they weren't able to make it. But I mean, you've got other great shows. You know, Great Deception is a good show to share, again, about that alternative history. Upstate Unconventional, Nico is a great dude. A different type of a show, again, more paranormal shit. But yeah, okay, I guess I did hit everybody. Ghost, The Occult Rejects, and then Colorado Dank. So I just wanted to make sure that I wasn't forgetting anyone. You know, sometimes I feel like I'm in like early onset Alzheimer's shit right now. I've hit my head multiple times in my life, and I know you know this. I've told you this several times. So, guys, with that being said, patreon.com/dangerousworldpodcast. I really, really appreciate you guys joining. If you're on the $3 tier and you've been a member of the $3 tier, just up it to $5, right? I mean, it's not that much. $5 a month, that's like less than 10, I don't want to be too crazy. It's less than 25 cents a day. We'll say that, okay? You get episodes multiple a week, okay? You get everything that you get on that $3 tier. $10 tier, I'm not even going to ask you to join unless you really like the show, okay? You get your perks there. Every $50 that you throw down on Patreon, you do get a t-shirt. First round of t-shirts is going out this week, okay? Had to get a few shirts. If you are a Patreon subscriber, check your Patreon inbox, because I asked everyone that has given $50 or more what your shirt size is and what your address is. If you want to throw in your social security number, feel free to do so. Okay. That's really how you can help me out. But don't do that. In all honesty, I could probably get in serious trouble if they thought I was serious about that. I don't want your socials. I've got my own social. Okay. So that being said, dangerousworldstore.com, you know where to find me. Okay. You know where to get the t-shirts. T-shirts are still $17.76. And believe it or not, I'm actually working on that COVID world tour t-shirt as we speak. The screens are shot and I just got my ink in. That shit is coming out. Okay. Those are going to be $20 though. They're going to be $20. They were fucking very difficult to get started printing. First of all, I had to find a company that would print me the color separations. That was kind of tough. Not going to say the company that wouldn't do it, but yeah, you know, you can't do business with some of these people. Okay. Especially when you throw in COVID and you start throwing around dates and you hype it up like it was staged. Oh wait, it was fucking staged, but still some people just don't want to believe that. Okay. So, you know, we got some shit coming out at dangerousworldstore.com and I appreciate the support and the love. You guys are fucking awesome. And man, let's roll into this episode with some really, really great individuals. Do you want your third eye open? Do you want to know the real shit? That hack line, take the blue pill or the red pill, the choice is yours. But I'll promise you right now, it's not what you think it is. And I think that we'll definitely hopefully wake some people up, not just with this episode, but with, you know, slowly taking the medicine with a little bit of sugar, you know, those Flintstone vitamins, you know, they work for a reason with those kids. Now, our kids are really stupid in this country right now, but that's not because of the Flintstone vitamins with the sugar and the medicine and all that shit. It's worth it. Okay. Point is, get the fucking medicine, get the good information. Here it is. Enjoy the episode. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I have been waiting to have this conversation for a couple weeks now, man. We planned this out with a few gentlemen here, people from different backgrounds with different ways of viewing the world. So it's going to be kind of a cool conversation about, is it a good thing to have your third eye open? Is it good to be awakened to actually search for this hidden knowledge? Because some people may say it was hidden for a good reason. So got some interesting people around. You've heard of all these guys if you've listened to Dangerous World before. But Jason, I'll start with you, man. Plug your stuff. I know you don't have a podcast, but you get around in the podcast world, dude. So throw your shit out there.
What's up, y'all? So it's Colorado_Dank99 on Instagram. You know what I'm saying? I just jump on people's podcasts for interesting talks and stuff. But, you know, I'd be busy most of the time. Real estate and everything. So, you know, catch me when you can.
Catch him outside. Okay, cool. New York Patriot, you and Lux here are both on, and you have your own show, and then you guys have also the Occult Rejects, which is awesome. So I'll start with you, NY. Plug your stuff, and then we'll go to Lux.
All right. Well, for my stuff, I have the NY Patriot show. It is now, we've made a new YouTube account. It will have the NY Patriot. It will have the Occult Rejects. And it will have Lux and maybe, I don't know, maybe I'll throw other people's shows in there too, as long as it's not stuff to get us banned. So we do have YouTube. We have BitChute. I have Rumble for my show, Odyssey, all major podcast things. And the same thing really for the Occult Rejects. We're available on all the same other stuff. And one thing I do want to add real quick, I want to give a shout out to Dank. If you guys are listening to him and you're going to follow him on Instagram, this motherfucker speaks his mind and he doesn't hold back. And I give him credit for that. So he's a good account, I think.
Yeah, and it is interesting how little traction your account gets, dude. You're very shadow banned. It's clear because there's people that follow it. But, you know, with the stuff that you post, it's completely unique. But no one is seeing it, it seems like. And that's a shame. So it just sucks that that's how the algorithm works. So yeah, I would also second what New York just said. Follow this dude. Follow what's the Instagram?
Colorado_Dank99.
Perfect.
Even
perfect.
I third that motion.
Not
the shit talking, even him, just his posts. He puts out a lot of good stuff.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely. Like I said, I second it. It sounds like we got a third. Love. What's going on with you, dude? Other than the New York Patriot collaboration you got in the Occult Rejects.
Well, the Occult Rejects are always going to be, you know, the most proud thing that I could ever, you know, considered to be involved with, and I love doing that show. It's been incredible. Decided to do some different work on the side just to get some different types of guests, cover different types of content, and really excited about it because I'm going to try and focus a little bit more on like the paranormal stuff, and also just sort of like deciphering some weird biblical stuff, occult knowledge and everything. So I started my own. It's called the Lux Rising Podcast. You can find it on Spreaker. And you can also find my account on Twitter with Lux 8th at Twitter. So check it out.
Dope. Okay, good stuff, man. And then what about you, Ghost? Even though we just talked, I'm not sure where I'm putting our conversation in this whole thing, dude. So plug your shit.
I'm Ghost. I have My Third Eye Podcast. You can find me on all major podcast players. Find me on Instagram, My Third Eye Podcast. Telegram, t.me/ My Third Eye Pod. And email is mythirdeyepod@gmail.com. And all these guys that have podcasts, you know, go give them a 5-star rating on Apple. And like Ryan says, give me a 5-star, talk shit. Give me a 1-star, fuck off. So
yeah, I don't read I'll never read the 1-stars, even if they're funny, but I'll read the 5-stars. And it's a good way to plug a business, to be honest.
Yes,
so
absolutely. I'm here because of Ryan. So
Too kind. You say it every time. It makes me shy, dude. It makes me shy. But I appreciate
I see your cheeks get rosy. You blush.
That's probably the booze, but no, honestly, man, you know, I'm truly excited to have this conversation on my Patreon. We're going to be sharing this episode on a lot of different platforms and a lot of different feeds. I'm going to do a deep dive into Alex Jones and his family history as the Patreon portion of this. It has nothing to do with the Third Eye Awakening, but he's one of these people that puts out a lot of knowledge, and a lot of it's interesting. A lot of it's new and a lot of it is true. But there's some really, really key parts that he doesn't touch on. So I figured he was a great person to sort of tie in with this topic. So you can find that at patreon.com/dangerousworldpodcast. Without further ado, guys, let's just get into this shit. Because like I said, the question and what we're going to be really kind of discussing here from all different kinds of, worldviews is it good to search for this hidden knowledge? Is it good to find the quote unquote truth, right? Seek the light. All this stuff. Is it good to have your third eye open? I'll just open the floor up, guys. Like whoever wants to start it off.
Can I just want to segue something into what you said, which I think in a way we can show the same thing. What I'm getting at with this show. You mentioned Alex Jones. I had said this last night on Meeting of the Minds. I think some people understood it and didn't say anything. And I think some people disagreed, but you know, that's okay. You mentioned Alex Jones, you know, and we're even talking about My Third Eye and how much knowledge and, you know, being illuminated. We have a lot of these, like Alex Jones, a big name, Jordan Maxwell, Sandro Spinacci, you know, all these names, all these big people that have been around for a while. Who else? Joe Rogan. I mean, I'll even throw a tinfoil hat in there, possibly, you know. We've had all these big, 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 huge shows that have supposedly have been bringing this illuminating knowledge that's going to save humanity and that's going to help enlighten us. But yet, all I've seen is the world getting worse and worse and worse. So, are we really being enlightened to the full effect that we should be? And I think opening your third eye is what's going to do it. But I just wanted to segue into that maybe maybe more of the knowledge and the truth is still being hidden within some of the stuff being told to us.
It's all distractions, man. That's what they do. So, I mean, like, you know, you mentioned a few shows there. I tend to agree, man. I think a lot of people and you know, people can get skeptical of our work too. And I think that that's healthy, right? Like I would never freak out on someone if they accused me of being in some society or if they accused me of some crime in the past. I would just be like, well, dude, no, you know, like I can prove it if you want, you know, fucking look into it. Don't just believe random shit like that. But, you know, it is interesting, man. And you make a good point saying that, you know, our world's just falling apart since a lot of people have been starting to get into like the whole awakening thing. And for the record, guys, side note, if anyone else wants to be recording this, I'm having some weird glitch. I don't think it's coming through in the actual audio, But if you guys just want to make sure that you guys can get the whole thing too, I'll have
to. Oh, no, I started recording it as soon as you started.
Sweet. Then we're good to go. We got it back.
Yeah, yeah. I got, and the audio will be amazing off of my Rodecaster.
Okay.
Not to brag. So we'll have good audio. No, we'll have good audio in case anybody needs it.
Good. Now, Jason, what are your thoughts so far? What we're talking about?
I think y'all are onto something. I mean, I think what's going on is if you think you know everything, then you're not going to ask the questions that need to be asked. And I think that's where Alex Jones comes in. He ropes you in with truth so that when the bigger things need to be covered up, he just doesn't cover them. Well, if you believe that he's onto everything, then you're not even going to look for yourself. You're going to literally be feeding off of him, thinking that you're being told everything and you're not. They're hiding certain information, like how come Donald Trump was not researched at all with all the connections that he has. You know what I'm saying? That he dug into Obama, Clinton. He talks about Reagan. He talks about all these presidents. But when it comes to Trump, nothing. He's silent. So that alone is what kind of concerned me. And then, of course, they promoted that all on Joe Rogan, Sam Tripoli. It echoed through those three podcasts. So,
dude, it is fascinating.
On that,
it's fascinating what's going on with Rogan right now. You know what I mean? He is one of these gatekeepers of like the ones that are really being persecuted, as far as like he's giving out misinformation, even though, you know, the White House can give out misinformation, all these other entities can really give out some fake stuff. Mm-hmm. And the misinformation thing with Rogan seems like a complete, like, dude, what episodes did they ban? They probably banned a bunch of episodes that they want more attention on. I guarantee you they didn't ban, like, you know, maybe they did ban like the Sanjay Gupta episode. I didn't even know. I might actually look into that while we're talking here. But dude, when things get banned, it just drives more interest into these topics. So, you know, Spotify drops a bunch, $100 million on this dude, and then they make him like the most controversial podcaster.
Well, you know what also happens with this, with him stuff getting banned? I mean, really, this is just whole, I mean, fucking, if Jesus didn't get nailed to a cross, would we even know who the fuck he was?
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like, oh, all of a sudden now, oh, this poor martyr. It's all a fucking bullshit story.
Yeah,
that's a good all reality TV. I really hate this.
And I'll play devil's advocate right here for just a second. What about all the other people that were nailed to the cross at the same time? You know what I mean? Why do we single out just Jesus?
Well, he was just specific. I can cut.
Well, I mean, that might have been like a really bad thing to use, but you know what?
No. I get where you're coming from, but, you know. I have read, you know, I was telling Ryan, I have read, it was many years ago, the Bible cover to cover. I'm like the sitting target here, and I don't feel like I am, but my podcast is my Third Eye podcast. My symbolism behind me, you could interpret that so many different fucking ways.
We did that on your own show. We did that on your own show.
Yes.
Well, that's actually why I'm having this roundtable, is because this is sort of like one of those things where your friend's an alcoholic and you all got to kind of gang up on him and get him in a room and be like, hey, dude, you got to change what you're doing. Okay.
Yeah, you're a fucking retard.
Jason, you were about to jump in about the Jesus stuff. You're kind of like, in my opinion, you're someone that's really knowledgeable with like this esoteric shit behind the Bible. So what are your thoughts on that, dude?
So my thoughts on it are, so what made it so significant was not only was he nailed to the cross, it's the way that it happened. The crown of thorns, the public humiliation. Not only that, but it was all the priests went against him because he was saying he was God in the flesh. So it was a high crime of blasphemy, which back then was huge. You know, they were very religious. They all listened to the priests, the monks, whatever you want to call them.
The Sadducees and
Sadducees,
and
you know, saying that's what there's a lot of things that made it so specific, because they also burned the Bible for 300 years before Constantine stopped it all. A known sun god worshiper of Apollo even built Constantinople in Turkey, which, you know, is where Apollo's from. There's a lot of things that made him a martyr compared to other people that were being buried on the cross. Then they had the 3-day resurrection, and that's what made it the most significant. The man who rose from the dead, remove the boulder, all that. That's what made it so significant, though. It wasn't just the cross, but yeah, all of the things that happened within such a time frame.
You know, if you really think about everything that Dank was just saying right now, I'm listening to him and I'm thinking about the Joe Rogan thing. If you really think about this. Joe Rogan is on a mic. He's out there telling people stuff. Jesus out there telling people stuff. Mm-hmm. What happened? Jesus got hung. He's a horrible person. Joe Rogan, horrible person. And then what do we do? Instead of burning books, we just erase episodes.
True.
Same story retold in present tense and people eat it up.
Or was that the story at the time that distracted everybody from something bigger that was going on? You know what I mean?
Because all this
Joe Rogan thing, in my humble opinion, in my mind, it's just a big distraction from what's really going on in the world. You know, all these protests against this stupid fucking bullshit that's going on, taking everybody's, you know, unalienable rights away from them and trying to make it seem like it's something different. And then, you know, Whoopi Goldberg can come out and say, you know, the Holocaust wasn't about race. Dude, the Jews are a race. The Jewish people is, that is a race. Well,
no. See, you know what, actually, and I hate to even get it because I don't want to. I actually agreed with her, believe it or not. And I thought it was actually the most pathetic shit that I've seen on TV. Think about it. This is a serious talk. Ghost, is there a specific country that you know that Jews are only born out of?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, well, that would make it a religion.
Is there one specific country that only Jews come from?
Yeah, well,
it is a religious ideology. It is not your race.
And it's not even really
a religion. Fucked up, and then that shows you how silly the world is that a leftist said something of actual truth and said it correctly, and the left still shit on her. That shows you how crazy retarded this reality TV show is.
Well, I think it's worse. I didn't even think of it that way.
That her mom gave her that Jewish sounding name, because that's not even her real name. You know what I mean? Her real name is Karen Johnson. And she took that Goldberg name because she wanted to do well in Hollywood. So it is kind of fucked up that she's, you know, saying this stuff.
I know. But the, what she said, though, I think, you know, I, as much as I can't stand that fucking chick.
Yeah.
I was like, yo, she actually said it correctly, I think. And it just shows you how they will cancel culture the fuck out of anything right now.
Yeah, she looks like shit, like a dead body that you find in a river right now, dude. She's like super bloated and like it's bad how she looks. It's annoying. I think she's trying to get fired, man. And the same thing, you know, I don't know how many people outside of podcasting really care about what's going on with Rogan. I mean, it'll show up on, you know, like your MSN News, Microsoft News and shit like that. Not a lot of people really care about it, dude. It seems like the biggest damn thing in the world to us because we're really tapped into the whole podcasting shit.
Yes.
So I get the comparisons to Jesus, right? I honestly do. It was kind of, it sounded funny in the beginning, but it makes a little more sense. But
if it appeals to the people on podcasting, that's the people who are out there trying to speak their voice. So maybe it is targeting the right people in a sense.
Well, I think that what it's meant to do, and this kind of does tie in what we're talking about, honestly, is that I think that it's meant to sort of like, you know, a slow burn for like, you know, we're going to start getting rid of some podcasts. You know what I mean? I've had episodes taken down, you know, things like that. And I'm sure that whole channels will be removed very soon. You know, we actually mentioned that in our predictive like end of the year show, you know, where we're trying to see what happens in 2022. This is going to be a big shift in what narratives are being pushed. And is that because they're trying to keep like the hidden knowledge away from people, or is it because they're just straight trying to get their own narrative out there? I don't know. Maybe it's the same thing.
One thing I would definitely say, just to touch back for just a second, is that I think that as as humans, and even as people who are involved in the occult or even in conspiracy, we have an extremely bad blind side. We have no ability to differentiate between information and the person who is presenting the information. So in other words, the, you know, Rogan, Jones, all of these podcasters are saying things that QAnon are saying things that are actually true, but because we find something wrong or we argue about their legitimacy, we kind of throw away all the information that they're actually saying, which might be true. And so we listen to it. And then with this, like, this weird thing happens where we start to think that this is the only person that can kind of give us this information, right? We like look to them like a savior, when in reality, you have to separate the information that's being said and putting it through your own critical thinking and realizing, okay, is this true? Let me double check it. And, you know, so they can be saying a lot of truth, but they themselves might be not truthful, like in the end of the day, because they might be in on it or they might be paid or something, but they're still saying important, truthful information. We have to like look through the lens of, okay, what is Jones? What is Rogan saying? Let me pull that information that I think is interesting or it might be true. Let me double check this work. Let me look at it, see how it can be applicable to me. Is this good information? Is it truthful information? And instead of throwing it all out just because this one person might be in on it or not, you know, it's, they love to do that as a psyop, to just make you think that anything you've heard from these channels all must be bullshit just because the person who's saying it, you know, might not be 100% truthful.
So yeah, I got caught lying about one thing, right? And that's actually a great point, dude, because they're, you know, for let's say 80% of people, maybe that's changing over time, but you know, everyone used to believe the mainstream media, right? I mean, like, yeah, maybe they knew, like, they were putting a spin on it. You know, Fox is conservative, CNN's, you know, liberal, whatever. But in a wide majority of people would trust those sources. But then what about the you know, 20 to 10% of people that just simply do not watch those channels? You got to get them hooked in with Rogan or Jones or these other, you know, kind of sort of like, I think Tim Dillon, I love Tim Dillon, dude. But like, there's a reason that dude is propped up so high. He's very talented. But he's got, I think, the number one Patreon in the world now. I don't know if that's a fact, but it's definitely the biggest comedy Patreon. That dude, he says shit that would make you kind of think, you know, like he says stuff like, you know, he want to spend holidays with his family, you know, and it's a comedic bit. But it's like one of the main pillars in his comedy is how much he hates his family. And he's joking, but still he's saying that. It makes it like kind of cool to hate your family and to isolate. Find your own family, find your own friends, shit like that. So yeah, man, these people do, you have to find different people like Rogan, like Jones, that'll sit there and tell you the shit that you want to hear. And then it programs people to just trust everything that they say. That's a really good point, Lux.
Yeah. You know what I want to add? And then I think this will actually turn us right back around to the topic of the show. A lot of what Lux was saying, I totally agree with. It's a lot of the stuff that we say on our own show. I've even said it on our own show. If something that we put out made you think enough to where you said, you know what, fuck with everybody, and I'm just going to start thinking for myself, and you stop listening to us, mm-hmm. I did a good job. But not even going to that far of an extent, we put these people up and idolize them. We think that they have the truth, that they are the truth. Regardless if they're controlled op, they think they're doing the right thing, they are doing the right thing, they know they're a piece of shit, they're not controlled, they're just doing it because they like it. Regardless, we have to not idolize them, take their ideas, and like Lux said, maybe research it, see if it rings true to us. But we have to stop taking it as truth. We have to take it as an idea. Because in my opinion, when it comes down to a lot of things, the only time you're actually going to know any truth, or at least your truth, is when you do open up your third eye. So those other people, everything they got to say, I would say take it into consideration, and maybe some of it's good and then it can inspire you to go farther, but that is not your truth.
Your truth
will come to you when your third eye opens.
That is what Ryan and I were pretty much talking about before this segue came in. I personally think it's a good thing. You know, opening my third eye is just seeking knowledge and truth and different perspectives from everywhere and internalizing that and turning it into something that can be used for good. And you know, the moment you try to look into this and think bad things, No, you're not. You're not. At the end of the day, you're not opening your third eye. I'm going to make a dick joke. You're just opening your fucking asshole. You know what I mean? Because, you know, your third eye is on the top of your head for a reason, to enlighten yourself, to enlighten yourself with knowledge, power, whatever power that may be. Is that power to learn how to change a tire, do an oil change, or learn how to raise cows? You know, you can go so simple yet so complex with it at the end of the day.
I mean, you know what's wild? I mean, and then I'll just throw this in real quick. Yesterday, me and Lux, we had Tommy Chong on, and I wanted to have him on for spiritual shit. Because I do believe, I'm sorry to say, even for him, I do believe, not that you have to be, and this will even kind of go in with the whole third eye thing. You know, if your third eye is open and you are able to do magic, or maybe, you know, whatever, you can use it to get what you want that you love to do in life. I honestly do think that a lot of the people that we see up on the TV and the screen, they are understanding of that. And that's why they're successful, regardless if it's for a bad reason or a good reason. I do think that. So I do believe that Chong was probably of that type of a person. And I wanted to have him on for spirituality. And he said a lot of shit that I didn't expect him to say that I was actually rather impressed with. But he did. After editing the show today and listening to it a few times, he repeatedly had hit on the point that everything, all the answers are inside your own head.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would agree with that for sure. And it, you know, it's interesting, you know, the pastor that I talk with, I haven't heard from him in a while, but Pastor Sam, you know, he brought up something really interesting that I haven't heard any stoner or anyone that smokes a lot disagree with when I bring it up to them. And I'm interested to I think that I've actually mentioned it to Jason, but using marijuana, using, you know, drugs, like especially marijuana, it's an illegal way to tap into the spiritual world. So I don't know what you think about that. There's a couple stoners here, you know, I say it to people right expecting now. Yeah, I know. I expect it to almost kind of offend people that smoke, but it never does. You know what I mean? It's just, they're like, yeah, it kind of is.
It's only illegal because government said it was illegal.
No, I'm saying illegal in the spiritual sense, like it's an illegal way to tap into the spiritual realm.
At the end of the day, who says that is illegal to tap into it? Because if you go back to modern roots of creation, it doesn't matter if it's a mushroom, if it's marijuana or ayahuasca or any other mind altering drug that is not super addictive. You know, that in itself is, in my mind, is Christ altering consciousness. You know what I mean? That is opening your mind to Christ or God or creator or anything like that.
Yeah.
I'll say this real quick. So whenever I smoke, I'm around people, I don't think it affects everyone the same. Some people will be more enlightened, they'll ask questions, whereas some people, they become more closed off and they eat junk food, so they're already destroying their bodies. I think it really depends on the individual if it's good for them. But to touch on what Third Eye was saying, I agree in the fact that they did use it along with other oils and extracts and mushrooms and things like this to tap into the spiritual world. Just because in our normal state, we're not on a level to even understand what it is. You know, your mind is too closed. So whenever they would go into the temples, they would burn these oils. They would, you know, they would get high, man. They would go into an altered state, and then they would make sure they were clean, clean of sin, cleanse themselves. And then they would burn these oils, rub them on their bodies and stuff. And then they would do their, I guess, prayer or mantra, whatever you want to call it, to speak to Yahweh or whatever religion it might have been. You know, Allah.
You can take that back to Moses. You know, when he went up on the mountain, Mount High, and saw the burning bush.
No, Chong was saying he was smoking weed. That's what he said yesterday.
Well, no, he wasn't smoking weed. That was an acacia bush burning, and acacia is riddled with DMT, natural DMT.
Well, you know what?
Something cross over.
Something I wanted to add real quick. I just Googled it to look. In 1907. Aleister Crowley released his Liber 777 book. That is like the handbook, the Bible for a Thelemite or most ceremonial magicians. It shows you the associations and everything. If I want to do a ritual for this, you literally can follow the book as a graph to see everything you need. Drugs are listed in there. Mm-hmm. This is back in 1907. You know, cocaine, all sorts of different shit is listed in there. THC, all this and that. Stuff that may not even have been illegal yet at that time.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, I just, right there back in 1907, you know, Mr. Aleister Crowley, supposed, you know, cult genius, did think at some point drugs fit into magical workings.
You can take it back further than that. That's where.
No, but I'm saying it.
That's, right. But that's where natural healing. Everything from anything that we want to heal ourselves with, whether it's a pain or a mental state of consciousness, comes from the earth at the end of the day. And okay, we call it weed because it grew so plentiful and like a weed, and you know, we smoke it now and or dab it, or you know, it gets manufactured. Why is that bad? Why is ayahuasca bad? Why is DMT bad? You know, why are mushrooms bad? And notice I always am referencing natural drugs, not synthetically made drugs.
Shit that just grows, I mean? Right here on our
exactly. So if I have a pain,
push the poisons on us instead. Isn't that crazy how they make the natural stuff illegal and then they bring in these chemicals that they can make all this money off of and dumb us down at the same time?
Exactly.
And
they're addictive.
You know, one, the cures are the same shit that's made out of the poison, right? They're all oil based. So, I mean, you know, the Rockefellers were huge into the oil industry. So that's why. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you look at how all these things change, whether it's frequencies like the music standard that, you know, was somewhat healing, that was changed by the Rockefellers. You know, mm-hmm. a lot of the Rockefellers have probably done more to damage people's, you know, natural ability to fucking like be at one with the earth or whatever. Right. They've really gotten us far off changing the music from what was it 532 or whatever to 538 or 536, whatever it is. I should know that, but.
Oh yeah. 440 or some shit like that.
Well, 444 is about, and then 741 is the devil's frequency. The devil's
528 is the healing frequency.
Well, what I actually just learned was that that's not true for everyone. So I have a really cool episode coming out with a bioacoustics lady. She actually told me straight up by hearing my voice that I have liver problems and that Matt has problems that he actually has too. So you can listen to the episode and she doesn't know. Yeah. So it was wild. So kind of interesting. And then she can get like your intentions behind your voice. And all this stuff. Like if you were to tell someone I love you and you didn't mean it, she could tell you right away. So I mean, imagine being married to her, dude. You can't lie about shit.
If I had her on the show, I wouldn't even be able to show my video myself. I wouldn't want to see her either. I'd have to have the video wall.
Well, she's not
so easy to read with my face, so
yeah, well, all she needs is your voice, dude.
Yeah. Oh, and you know, I wanted to say something about the drugs, and I think this will talk about third eye stuff, a little bit of magic. It's going to take a couple of minutes, but I'm going to show why I think drugs sometimes are, you know, legalized, because I do think it can help aid in magic. When it comes to magic, from my experience, and I'm sure Lux could probably say the same thing. What the problem is that it's basically we are like, you take our brain, it's like a fucking flame. It's just all over the place. It's uncontrolled, you know, like a lamp. You have a lamp. It's just a fucking fire that's in there. It does whatever it does. Now on the hermit card, like I said, a lot of times when you see him holding that lamp, it's not a flame. It's a fucking, it's like a bulb or a beam, or it's like a star. That is very concentrated. That's a concentrated thought. That is when I thought Tommy Chong, the way he said it yesterday, was brilliant. You've cut the static out. All that bullshit, all that stuff. When my Scarlet Whore episode 3, when you heard all those voices and the fire going on, that's all that stupid shit going on in your head that doesn't fucking belong there. That's the static. When you want to actually do real magic, if you want to actually open your third eye. If you want to leave here and actually experience heaven, that shit has to be shut the fuck off. And you have to have a concentrated one thought, and that's what you're going to do. Now, when you are high sometimes off of weed, when you are high off of DMT or mushrooms or, you know, whatever natural hallucinogenic, I'm sure at that time you're not thinking about your fucking rent, what's on fucking TV tomorrow, I got to get those new fucking shoes. You're barely just actually focused on that one experience that you're having. You're actually shutting the bullshit off using those drugs because you are now just in that experience. That is the same fucking thing you need to keep going farther in magic. So no, we cannot have people doing that.
Well, yeah. Well, that was, like I was saying, that was just that one pastor's point, saying that that is an illegal way. Using drugs is an illegal way in the spiritual world to get to that point. I think that what he's getting at is that God created you so that you had the tools, and unfortunately society has created all that static in our heads. So we need these drugs. I mean, I don't know anyone that doesn't have some kind of vice, even if it's food. I mean, people have vice.
But God created these drugs. Yeah. Okay. Well, God created the natural drug. And then you have the other Christians out there that say, oh, well, God gave him the wisdom to create this petroleum based medicine, and we should take that now.
I mean, he gave us the ability to make cocaine, and that's not done just by pulling it off the plant. It's got to be processed.
Or any pharmaceutical that we have right now. You know what I mean? Well, see, God gave him the knowledge and the power to create that.
This I think can even go back to the whole thing, is it good or not to open up your third eye?
Yeah.
Because depending on the person that you are, and in like, you know, what we were talking about yesterday with Chung too, I'll be totally 100% real on that Scarlet Horse series. When we worked on that shit, I was fucking, you know, I was pushing myself very close. You know, I was bringing myself to the eclipse. I wasn't opening up. For inspiration. That's how I made all those intros. That's how I put so much work into it and loved what I did, is because I was trying to just crack it a little bit and get some knowledge and inspiration so I can make something that I'm fucking proud of and I'm hoping somebody got something out of. You could either do that, or I can learn how to be a professional criminal or a professional murderer.
So why is that bad then?
Why is that bad? Well, no, it's the person. Opening your third eye isn't bad. It's the fucking person that decides to be who they are afterwards. Right. That is bad.
And like I was telling Ryan, you know, I think inherently most humans, we want good. We don't see racism. We don't see hate. We want to love one another. And
I think put into us as a mindset. I think a lot of that,
the whole hippy dippy thing, you know.
And I think that changes. You gotta
fucking bow down and hate that. But no, at the end of the day, nobody really hates anybody.
I think that changes your actions.
Yeah. I can hate your character, but I'm not gonna hate you as a person.
The part of us that our third eye that's fucking enslaved inside of our pineal gland, that thing in itself, no, it does not. It does not see that shit. It's unfortunately what's been bullshit fed to us in the flesh that fucking holds on to that crap. I do not believe our souls do that at all.
Yeah, dude, I was going
to
say,
I think to open up your third eye, because you can't.
Then you'll realize how much.
Don't live in the flesh.
Yes.
Live.
I was going to say, I think that changes, though. I think that's what I'm trying to say, is it changes it. Like everyday people, they don't hate anyone, right? When you get a little power, dude, you start fucking hating people that don't have the same power as you, because you get this weird complex in your head. And I was even talking about, like, if you have a crappy boss at work, right? They they rule their fucking little room or office with an iron fist, man. Imagine someone having power over a country or the world. So that changes, you know what I mean? Because you always tell yourself, dude, if I was the boss of this place, I wouldn't be like that dick. And you probably would, realistically. A lot of people, when they get power over others, are assholes. That's why we have the world set up the way that it is. And it's interesting. And to touch on the whole idea of, you know, the third eye shit. And you know, God created all this good stuff and he created all this bad stuff. You know, we really wouldn't know what good is without bad. We wouldn't care about our health if there wasn't a little bit of a possibility that we can become unhealthy with some sort of disease or disorder. Or if, you know, they always ask, like, if God's real, you know, why would there be, you know, kids that get cancer? It's because, dude, your kids are precious, man. And every once in a while, unfortunately, something horrible happens to one and it kind of puts things into perspective for the rest of the fucking world. All in all, people are healthy. All in all, a lot of good things happen to most people. But we hear about this bad shit. And it as selfish as it may sound, it really puts things into perspective for you. And you're like, damn, dude, I got a good ass life. You know what I mean? So I don't know. It's interesting. I like when people start getting into that stuff. It's like, why does all this bad stuff happen if God supposedly loves us or the creator supposedly loves us? And I think that's exactly.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think
you get into the Bible and God is a very vengeful God. He's not a loving God at all.
That's why. It's stupid. I'm not a big believer in
the Bible. I don't think you should take that book at literal.
No. And I don't. You know,
if you did, you realize God is bipolar. If you go by both testaments, yeah. You think he's fucked
he is. I hate you. Well, but I love you.
And also, though,
it's like the worst stepmom ever. It's like, I love you.
Also, very important to take into account that the Hebrew God in the first, you know, five books of the Old Testament, even the Hebrews would acknowledge that that's a very different God than Christianity in the Second Testament or the New Testament. So it's weird.
The Muslims do that too. Like, even though they all share that same, you know, the Old Testament, they all still kind of have their own versions of that idea too. Like, they don't all agree on that specifically either. You know?
Yeah. It's like the first five books were like, the, you know, they call them by different names, Elohim, things like that. And when you trace it back and you really break it down into Hebrew, it's a very different name or meaning to God than what later Christians would in the Old or the New Testament. So, and even if you look at old Hebrew concordances, they openly acknowledge that God that they were worshiping back then is very different than the God that the Christians would worship in the future. And that's curious all on its own.
Yeah. And then the Constantine mixing into it and blending everything. It's kind of hard to say what wasn't changed.
Right.
You know, and I think another good thing to say, and take it a little deep and it might get interesting, and I'll try not to drag it out too long. You know, you're talking about, like, you know, how is bad stuff happening too, if magic is good, and like how I said, it just depends on the person as well. You know, when it comes to magic, in my opinion, this is exactly what explains, because, you know, in my opinion, for me to be able to practice magic, you have to do a lot of work on yourself. You really have to know who you are. In my opinion, like, you have to at least acknowledge the piece of shit of a person you are, and then maybe even sometimes remove it. But then it's like, you know, you think it's like, well, you know, how does somebody do all that work and then still come back and do horrible things with it? When it really comes down to magic, and this is, you know, where I get into what my actual specific belief, how it works, how it happens. The whole thing with magic is that you need to be balanced and need to really have no ties to this world because of one thing. I do believe if you want to get to magic with a K, you are dying. You are literally dying for, it could just be for a few seconds. You have untethered yourself. You actually have to be of the mindset to pull that off. If you believe that that's what you're doing to a point, yes, you have to not have any handcuffs to this world. If you actually believe, I'm going to die right now, I'm dying so I can go have this experience. That is some serious fucking shit to actually mentally process, accept, and be able to pull off. Now, just because you pulled that off does not mean you're a good person. That just means you can understand that you have zero fucks for life, but in just in a different way. You know, some people could say the reason why I'm able to do it is because I look forward to where I'm going and I believe that it's going to help me be a better person here. That's why it's easy for me to be able to tell myself it's okay to die to the flesh right now. That's totally different than somebody saying I can die to the flesh right now because I'm going to pick up some knowledge that's going to make me a rich motherfucker when I wake up. Two totally different attempts. So it all depends on the person, you know?
That's cool. So yeah, that obviously it ties in then with just the entire awakening, right? I mean, if you're going to wake yourself up, so to speak.
Yeah. I mean, listen, you could find out, I mean, if somebody, and I truly do believe you could go like watch Flatliners, and I totally believe that, and I'll be totally 100% honest with you, this is not God's honest truth, you know, and this is what a lot of occultists and other people won't say, you know, on podcasts. If I had a hospital fucking setting and I knew that I was going to come out, I guarantee you, I probably would have been fucking with that shit a lot more because I'd have a safety net and the fear, there'd be less fear and I'd be able to go a lot farther because at some point when you're out there, the whole thing kind of creeps up. You realize what you're doing. The fear comes in, your pineal closes. It stops you from going even farther than you could because fear will come up at some point. But if I have this safety net, now I know I can go and do that. Fuck, I'm sorry. No, I totally.
Well, so what you're saying too is that like it's very possible that the military might really fuck around with this stuff because they have that technology.
Yes, exactly. Like you may not even realize what's actually going on. You may not even understand it, but you're seeing that that's what can happen from using that process. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah, dude. That's
oh, and I do think that's exactly the military, for sure. I believe it or not, as crazy as this sounds, I would not doubt if there's like fucking bases somewhere where they have kids or fucking teenagers or people with things on their fucking heads, things over their eyes.
Oh yeah.
Fucking reading activity and doing shit to send them out to the abyss on their own and just studying what they can do and, you know, what's going on. I guarantee you shit like that is going on.
Well, the psychic spies too. That's gotta be real, man. There's no concrete proof necessarily that I know of, but yeah, it makes a lot of damn sense when you figure out like, especially how crazy things are, man. This isn't just natural stuff at work right here. There's something going on. And I think that is kind of why it's fucked up. The people that have the technology and the ability to tap into this stuff, they're probably mostly going to be bad people, mostly, right?
Yeah.
I don't think it's actually technology. It's just our own capabilities.
And yeah, that they're manipulating. What
they're tapping into and manipulating it to remote view or do whatever the fuck the military wants to do, because, you know, Lux, you and I were both in. Okay, I wasn't a subject to anything other than fucking vaccines and shots and, you know, going around the world and, you know, loading bombs to promote another war.
Right.
But at the end of the day, it's like, no, you have that dark side of the military, and that's why it is the dark side. Because after Hitler, quote unquote, lost, they all came over here and we got fluoride in our water. We got NASA. We got all this other fucking bullshit.
Aliens.
To, you know, fuck with our minds. You know, everything that they do is to dumb our fucking mind down.
That's the technology that I'm talking about. Like, it doesn't necessarily need to be wired technology, but it's technology nonetheless, right? I mean, the aqueducts is a form of technology. So that's what I'm referring to, is these abilities that they have. Lux, were you about to say something, dude?
Yeah, I was going to point out real quick. I'm not going to go into too much detail about the whole situation because I want to kind of keep the story short. But when I was in the Marine Corps, there was a operation that was going on in Colorado, and it was around this giant antenna array. I'm talking
Tesla.
What's that?
Like Tesla's technology?
Well, they called it HARP.
Oh, okay.
And so it was this giant array of antennas, and I was stationed there. And what they would do is they would move people in and out of this certain location, which I'm not going to talk about here, but in Colorado, where they would bring people in for like 2 weeks and they would move them out. And I remember being there, and there was this like testing that was going on with these different, you know, HARP technologies, which was essentially sending radio waves into the ionosphere in order to manipulate the ionosphere to create weather patterns and other things. I didn't know that at the time, though, right? I was just stationed there and just thought I was going to a normal thing. And I would be around this array of antennas, and they would spark it up. And when it would spark up, I would get these crazy headaches, and like the hair on my, you know, my neck or my arms would like stand up, and I felt really weird. And they did that so many times that after so long, I felt so anxious about it happening. It started to weird me out. But again, they would like move us out in like these two-week periods. And it came after I got out. It was very obvious to me that these guys are using vibration. They're using these different radio waves to manipulate things that the public has no knowledge of. Mm-hmm. And even at that time, I had no knowledge of it either, because it was just like a fucking normie. This is like 2003.
Yeah.
So after getting out, I kind of figured out what was the whole end scheme of it. But these guys, they have a much better understanding of vibration, energy, frequency than we do, because they're keeping that information hidden. They're using it for specific technologies. And then, you know, the public doesn't know anything about it. But if you relate it to the occult, it fits right in line. What they're doing in the military with those frequencies, those vibrations, you know, radio waves, we won't understand it from a general public sense, but goddamn, they do. And it's pretty dangerous.
Well, dude, so was that, you said it was in Colorado, because they have the main HARP is up in Alaska. So yeah. is there a separate one in Colorado too?
Oh, there are dozens around the world. At this point, I wouldn't even say dozens. I would say Lord knows.
Shit.
This was way back then. So like 2003, 2004. But they expanded on that project and they moved it all around the world. You can find these installations for HARP, you know, which is like high atmospheric, you know,
high atmospheric auroral research program, I think is what it is.
Yeah. And what they're essentially doing is sending those certain radio frequencies into the ionosphere to manipulate, like I said, weather patterns, a whole bunch of other shit.
Yeah. Oh, I know all about HARP, dude. It's a weird deal, but it's just kind of interesting that you got to be so close to it. Cause yeah, I do think that actually taps into fucking with people's way of thought. Right. And the whole connection with the world and everything that we're talking about.
That explains a lot now, Lux, thinking about it.
Why is a little off? Is that what you're saying? Yeah, like,
how did this dude say yes to doing a podcast with me? Now I understand.
Well, maybe he. I'm thinking Lux confused the oxygen with the Lux Gen, and you know you can't liquid oxygen. Yeah, good thing.
Liquid, maybe that's why you can't show yourself. He's got like a hand growing out of his head from the radiation.
Yeah, liquid nitrogen, the Nicarts. No, fuck off.
I literally have a ball sack that's growing out of my forehead.
Ball chin.
Yeah. Oh my god.
That's no, crazy, we actually did one time, and I'm still entertaining the thought. We thought one time of dressing up as the Blues Brothers, and he said he would actually show himself. Or suits or something like that. And I was like, yo, that would be fucking badass. We might do that.
Actually, it would be dope to dress in like prosthetics or something too, dude. Like you're like an old lady and a fucking like Jackass quality, movie quality. Old
That'd be fucking awesome. You know what,
I was sitting there in the wheelchair.
Yeah. Wheelchair, yeah, or a cane or something. Yeah. Bag on his hip.
With a white crayon.
Yeah,
that's definitely my favorite crayon.
Definitely like 12 of them.
what were we gonna say?
You know the whole thing with the good and the bad of the third eye. So You know, we were talking about that, and I guess, like, you know, we both, I think a lot of us do agree. It just depends on the person. But there is some things I would like to say, and I think maybe some other people can jump in on this too and give their perspective. If you truly probably, you know, if you've had that experience, I do from my experience and from other people that I've spoken to, if you really do crack it open, you're not going to be the same after that ever again. You know, so like if there's people who are listening, people who are practicing magic, or, you know, even for good reasons, or have whatever type of, you know, ritual type of thing that you do, meditations, you know, read books, self-help stuff. If you're trying to get to that point, you know, this is very much like Ghost. You're an Iron Maiden fan?
They were okay.
For some reason, I thought you were in comments. I'm sorry. I liked them. They have an album called Peace of Mind, and there is a song called Still Life. And at the beginning of it, it's weird, and it's something said backwards. Everybody was like, oh, fucking Iron Maiden talking backwards. What does he say? And they play it backwards, and all the guy says is, don't play with things you don't understand. And I think after I had my magical experience, and this is one of the reasons why I even left the OTO, is because they did not explain to me or give me anything to understand what magic really was and what opening your third eye is really going to be about. So I'm just saying, if you're working towards that, that is something that you have to understand, that you are not going to be the same after that, and you're going to have to basically reprocess your reality. And that's going to take a strong-minded person. So you better be strong-minded and balanced before you start the work.
And I'll be honest with you. I'm still trying to pry open my third eye. Yeah. You know,
well, sometimes it's good if it's
call my podcast my third eye. But, you know what I mean? It's not fully open. It's prying open. You know, like, it's squinting. You know what I mean? Like, it just wants more and more. And you can relate that to, you know, Lord of the Rings, whatever, you know, My Precious, The Ring, whatever. But,
well, the Eye of Sauron, actually, I think is like a really.
Yeah. But
the third eye, actually.
I don't know. At the end of the day, you know, you open your third eye, and Jay, you open yours. It's not a bad thing. Lux, NY.
I think. See, my personal,
we all open it to an extent.
Yeah, no. Well, what I wanted to get at is that sometimes that can actually come, you know, and I don't know if it just goes by, you know, people specifically. Is it something?
Sometimes you can actually come.
No.
I hope it's not just me.
No, but like, I don't know if it's because of, you know, what reason, but, you know, I think Dank can back me up here. After that experience happens, and you know, if you do it enough, you're going to start to notice commonalities, and there's going to be things in your mind's eye and just the way that you physically feel. I mean, after you open your third eye, I think once you open your third enough, you open your third eye enough, you will also begin to start feeling your body differently than you used to. But, once you have, I think, a far enough experience beyond just a crack and you open it, it's going to change you to the point to where there may be times you feel it happening and you're not even trying. And that
I've never experienced that, but I have.
Good for you. Good for you. I'm happy you have.
But saying what you are saying, yeah. I did open my third eye at one point, cheeing up my energy and cheeing up my wife and just experiencing the energy that was within me that I harvested to basically push into her to heal. You know what I mean?
The thing is that you probably actually felt something like
I
you
did.
Actually, yeah. That is the wildest shit.
I could feel the energy leave like, my hands.
It's almost like tornadoes. Her,
yeah. It's like boom. And you feel it go into her body. And then reverse and then come back out into your hand wherever you push it. And dude, I don't know, maybe that was my third eye opening and me opening my energy chakras, whatever the case may be, you know, whatever religion you want to put that under. But
you're manipulating energy somehow, some way.
Yeah.
Regardless of what it was, you were, you know, probably truly manipulating energy. That's exactly what you were doing.
And well, like you said, Ghost, is so after I got out of the military, you know, this is like 2008 or something like that. I started to sit down with all of these crazy tapes because I thought that there might be some, you know, after you are in something that's so strict and materialistic and like earthbound of being in the military, that I had like an adverse reaction to that. And I started to look into these different, I guess, you know, like vibratory or frequency based videos on YouTube and stuff. And I thought that was totally BS. And I remember sitting down, listening to some of these videos. And of course, like YouTube now is way more censored. It's way different than it was back then. Right. And back then there were legitimate videos and, you know, like clips of people actually sharing these real frequencies. And I would sit down and I would lay in my bed. And there was like this one time that I had listened to it, and it's like, I can't remember the exact one that it was. It must have been like 432 hertz or 532. I can't remember. But there was this feeling of literally like a cracking in my head. And that was the first thing that led to all of this afterwards of me researching all these crazy subjects, was because of that one instance of where I felt like, you know, I was trying to call out the BS on these clips of saying that there's no way that this can be possible, because I'm so grounded after getting out of the military. And listening to that, and then boom, like after that experience, feeling inside of my mind crack open, I felt it. Like it was almost audio to me. I could feel it. It's crazy.
It's a weird feeling, because I've said it before, you know, I used to play with a fucking chi ball. You know what I mean? Like you see it on all these fucking Dragon Ball Z's or old, you know, ninja movies or whatever. Oh, yeah, mom, I'm gonna chi up. And no, that shit is fucking real. Like you can feel it in your fucking hands. Like it gets warm, and you push that energy into something, or you can pull that energy into yourself. And I don't know. You can call that your third eye opening, or you're on an energy level that most people wish they could attain. But at the end of the day, I think everybody can attain that if they just open their third eye.
Yes. You know, and that ties into the Scarlet Whore. That's why she's a whore. She doesn't deny anybody. She doesn't say no. If you know the right buttons to push, she will open her legs for you, and the waters of creation will start to flow. You just gotta know. You just gotta know the right button to push.
My kind of lady, dude.
No, but it's available to anybody. It's available to anybody. We just have to figure out how to do it. That's why she's a whore. She denies no one.
Yeah.
You just don't come to her. And you know what the funny, and you know what the funny thing is, and this is one of the reasons why I think how sometimes, like even with magic, you know, in the OTO, it will even show you certain things going on sexually to show something happening. And you know, a lot of times for me, when I have good magical experiences, it's because I did it for a good reason. When the last couple of times when I was doing magical experiences, like I said, it was for the Scarlet Whore series. It wasn't so much to pat myself on the back. Is that one, I just had creativity, and two, I really thought what me and Lux tried to do in that series was like of real help if people understood it and watched it. It was not for my ego. I really thought what we were doing was important. So there really wasn't any negative like consequences to that.
It was important.
Yeah, it is important.
Yeah, but
very important.
What the fuck was I gonna say?
Well, and that whole Scarlet Whore thing is a very interesting deal, and you guys did a great job on that so far, man. So I don't know if there's more to it that you guys are gonna get.
I'm sorry. Now I remember where I was going with this.
Yeah.
You know, so and I'm not trying to pat myself on the back, but I did that. For me, that was a selfless act. And I'm not patting myself on the back for it. Me and Lux spent hours and hours and fucking months to put that shit out, and we're proud of it because we wanted to help. That was a selfless act. Now, in the OTO, when they're showing you the man crossing the abyss, when they're showing you the man breaking out of the Scarlet Whore's control, what is he doing? His head is in between her legs. What is he doing? He's getting her off and not fucking her and coming. It is a selfless act. He is not gaining anything out of that except for pleasing her.
Interesting. Very interesting. Yeah, dude. Yeah, it was a really fascinating series. Are you guys done with that, by the way? The series?
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay. Yeah, dude. I don't think I've gotten through it all, but it's very, very good, dude. And that kind of stuff is important. I like the series type things because you can get into them a little more, can make them more digestible for people. And yeah, dude, that kind of stuff all ties in to the way that society works, it seems. I mean, you can see references, so many freaking references to the Scarlet Whore in pop culture. You know what I mean? It's all over.
Right.
And that seems to be the big one.
I'm curious about Colorado Dank. Like, what was your experience like? What was that awakening that sort of happened for you?
I mean, I never.
Yeah, actually, Dank, I think you have a lot to say that you should say on this, honestly.
Yeah.
Yeah, not like trying quiet. to put you on the spot, but like you and me share experience.
I'm just high right now, man. I'm just listening.
No, I'm just saying me and you share certain experiences. I think that is like I was trying to get into, not the bad part, but there are certain things that come with this. So, and I think you're a good example of this.
Absolutely. So I'll start off like this. This is my perception of the third eye. I think it's good in some ways. I think it's great, actually, especially if you can control it. I think as Hinduism and some of these other cultures show it, as the lotus flower opens up, you become divine. And I think that at one point is taking it too far. So I think there is levels that we should not be able to obtain because there's no going back. I mean, once you go there, you're not coming back. You're ascending from the physical form to a form that's beyond that. And I don't think people understand that once you go to that certain level, you ascend.
Not to interrupt you real quick, but inside the Astrum Argentum and maybe even the OTO, if you look up at the grades, the higher you go up, at one point it says that you have, and basically, in my opinion, you have died and not come back. It says that you and God dissolve into one or become obsolete. So I do think that you literally can go to an extent to where you're not.
Well, and what happens to your physical body when you ascend to this other level? Well, I'm saying can't other entities enter your body and control your body?
I think that's possible, and I think a lot of, believe it or not, I think a lot of these supposed people hanging themselves, these Clinton deaths, I think were just occultists that fucking crossed over.
Ooh, that's actually a good take. I haven't heard that.
That's another one of the QAnon things that hid true occultism, just like Pizzagate, that hid true occultism, what those symbols really fucking mean, a lot worse than if people would have believed it was just kid touching. Those symbols actually symbolize people willing to die to go practice magic. If people understood people were really doing that, the kids shit would just be like a side effect of that, actually.
Wow.
And they should worry more about that, really.
I also think, just like if you trip on acid or mushrooms, it's all about your mind when you're going into it. And then your mind will magnify that. So imagine an evil person practicing this magic or practicing crossing over, they're pulling a different type of energy than someone who may be good. And it can, I think they go somewhere else. I don't think they ascend the same as us. I think they cross over, they don't ascend.
Yeah, I mean, I'll end it with this, and then I want Dank to go back to what he was talking about. But, you know, we're talking about, I guess, now, you know, bringing other entities in. I'll straight up say it from what I've looked at, if it was correct, and from what I read, one of the higher OTO initiations. I don't know. I think it's the ninth. That one. Now, everybody who also has looked at it all takes it as sexual. And again, the Scarlet Whore, which is what we tried to prove, is a sexual story explaining how magic is done. Now, if you look at it as the way I'm saying it, to where you are actually dying and your soul is leaving, if you read everything and you take that sexual stuff and put it into what I'm saying, they are exactly doing that. They are removing whatever was in that vessel and they're taking something else and trying to put it in there. In my opinion, that is exactly what that ritual is saying in a sexual sense. And people don't see it because they think it's sex.
Did you sex think sounds, go dude. This?
Well, no, it hides the truth because you see sex and you don't see the occultism.
Yeah.
It's a way of telling the truth in a way of people not seeing it at all. We showed you. You just looked at it the wrong way.
Yeah,
so exactly. Ryan, did you think you were going to go this deep on this topic?
Yeah, dude. Yeah, this is why I wanted to talk about these, you know, with this stuff, with this different people, with these different perspectives. And I thought it would actually be really great to have the other two that we're, you know, planning to have on too, just yeah, because it's completely right. different, right? And I think that that's where you get the greatest conversations, you know?
Oh yeah, Nico would have had a lot of great stuff to add to this for sure.
Too. Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's a and shame, it's but, you know.
And a totally different type of person from a totally different part of the world. It's amazing how we would all probably have commonalities among us all too.
Yeah, dude, and I think I'm the only one here that will not say that they have quote unquote awoken. I don't have any shame in saying I don't know what it's like. I have no idea, you know, what that feeling's like, and I might not ever feel it, dude. You know what I mean? But that's fine with me. I think that it's interesting. Look
if you
for
think like that, you never will.
Yeah, I mean, see, that's the thing, man. I think that there's things to it though, where like right now, it sounds overhyped to me. So far.
Yeah, oh yeah, no.
Because everybody right now is talking about it, but
yeah.
me and NY and Lux, you're kind of a little younger, but you're on the same mindset as NY and I. We're around the same age, so we've kind of now we've hit that. Like we woke up, like what the fuck, like.
Well, I'm definitely hello, awake, yeah. But I think that there's a big difference between like knowing that you're being lied to and like what I perceive as being like, you know, all not all knowing, but like, you know, what right. we're talking about here, really getting some sort of understanding and having some sort of maybe it sounds corny, but superpowers, right? To where you have this right. ability to do this shit. To me, it sounds overrated, to be 100% honest. Yeah. Well,
and you know what?
That's fine. That's totally. I would love to hear Dank's. The finish up that he had on that.
Yeah.
I can't remember where I was going with it.
you know what I want to say though, but like sometimes maybe it just shouldn't happen or it needs to happen on its own way. You know what I'm saying?
It does.
Like
that's what I was about to get into.
No, what I was gonna wrap back into Dank.
All right.
So and these have also been for myself negative experiences with magic. One thing, you know, one of the few things that piece of shit Crowley said that I do think is true. Sometimes a bad experiences, I think, with magic or possibly, you know, opening your third eye is when you are lusting the result of it.
Yeah.
So maybe Ryan, if you're really don't give a flying fuck about it, and if it's meant to open, it will open when it will, because you're not lusting for it, and maybe you'll have a better experience.
Hopefully, man. I mean,
I'm just saying that you know, because I myself, when I've tried to force it open, I can tell you I wish I didn't.
Yeah.
And I will tell you at any time, I never forced mine. And like I keep saying, my third eye is just peering through the crack. I want it to explode. Are there certain circumstances that have? Fuck yeah. But at the end of the day, it's like, I don't know.
But the reason I brought that up was just bring it back to Dank to say may not all be roses.
You yeah. know? So I've never. So I'll say this, Ryan. I'll go back to what I was saying. whenever I felt it, at least I think that it was happening. It's when my premonitory type dreams happen, where I get deja vu constantly. Sometimes I have dreams and it'll happen later on, maybe not exactly like the dream. It usually feels like a separation from the physical. And then that's when I start experiencing that. And then to add to what I was saying, you know, sometimes it just happens. Like you're not expecting it. You close your eyes and all of a sudden you're somewhere else, man. That feeling is almost like you're falling. I don't know how to explain it, but it's almost like you're falling the whole time you're in that dream. It's like the hair standing up on your arms. You can feel everything around you. It's something that you don't feel in the physical realm. You know, we had to actually,
you can't even describe it, trying to describe it right now. It's like there is no word. There is no words for the experience. It's fucking unreal.
It's I don't know if you've ever, let's say, because you don't really smoke weed or anything like that, but it's if you've ever done like nitrous oxide or something like that, it's kind of like that type of feeling, but actually separating from the body.
I've gotten very high before, you know what I mean? Like I've gotten super super stoned, and I used to smoke a lot of weed, dude, and I do every once in a while. I'm actually on half an edible right now. I usually will pop like little edibles here and there. But, and I've had the premonition type dreams where I've had like a dream, or like I'll say something's going to happen, especially to Kim here, and she thinks I'm psychic, you know what I mean? Just because of like shit that I'll say is going to happen, and then it does. I just feel like being awakened is much, much more than that, right? Maybe that's like an early step, but I think that it's something that you almost can't turn back from, personally. I think that like once you're fully, fully there, you're there. And so that's what I'm curious about, is to like what, not the steps to get there, because yeah, I think everyone has like hit a bet or something, you know, and that's tapping into something every once in a while. Like if you're betting on an underdog or doing something crazy,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. You don't need to be there to get there. Like you were just saying, you know what I mean? Like if you wake up and you're getting high, whatever, you know, get drunk, whatever, get fucking high on heroin, whatever, but you get there. And I'm not promoting heroin, but what I'm trying to say is you're getting there. And you said Kim thinks you're a fucking psychic, but you're having premonitions of something that might happen, you know. Yeah. and that goes into the dream state, because wow, I've had some fucked up dreams the last few fucking days where,
me too.
I've had a lot of anxiety lately, like panic attacks, and I haven't had panic attacks since I was a child. I've talked about this a few times, dude. I have my heart start racing randomly, and I'll feel like short of breath. It's not like heart attack type shit, because it comes real quick, goes away. I don't have pains in my limbs or anything. You
feel right in your chest.
And my head, dude, like I feel fucking weird. And you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, and actually Nico was saying, like, if I don't
Welcome
have any
to be
health,
an empath.
Well, and that's what Nico was kind of hinting at, was like, you know, if I don't have some sort of health condition, which I'm not the healthiest, but I'm not having many heart attacks here. That's not what's going on. He was saying like it could be like you're on the verge of some sort of like next level shit or whatever, which I don't see it personally, but that doesn't mean that he's not right about it. Well, so
a great way, I think, to explain it, Ryan, this goes for like everybody. Like, all right, if you go to write a letter, what do? You're thinking about something first, and then you go and put the pen down, the paper, this.
Yeah,
that.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, it comes from a thought. Now you talking about all these premonitions and these things. Before it came out of your mouth, before you said it to anybody, where did it come from?
Yeah, your head. Yeah,
your
brain.
Yeah, your head. So maybe for all you know, you're just listening to the correct signal instead of the static at that point.
Sure. I was about to say, I think it's a calming. I think it's just like meditation. I don't mean you have to actually meditate and hum and do all that stuff that they show you on TV. But I mean, to actually calm yourself, to calm everything inside your mind, some people just naturally do that. And I think maybe whenever I tap into it, I'm just naturally letting everything go. and therefore I'm separating from the physical because I'm no longer paying attention to it. I've completely just released all that, like NY was saying, the static. I block everything out. And I think that's whenever mind starts to happen. I mean, it literally feels like a separation. I don't know. That's the only way I can explain it.
It feels like a magnet, right. Like sucking your soul out of you.
Yeah, kind of like
that. The only thing I can say is opening your third eye is like realizing you're a fucking empath. And you're blocking all the fucking negative energy. And yeah, you feel everything all around you. And once it's fucking open, you're like, oh, fuck. How do I get Bitch and Betty out of my head? Karen out of my head? How about Ken? Ken's being a dick right now.
First time I ever took mushrooms, right? Like, so the first time I ever took mushrooms, I did a way bigger dose than I
should have. Like,
I definitely should have not have taken that much.
You didn't weigh it out, did you?
Right, but the self-realization that happened during that, it was like it was an attack on the fucking ego.
Oh.
Like, I hated what I saw. And it was because of the ego was protecting itself. Yes. I didn't want to acknowledge that these drugs attacked that self preservation of the ego. You know, I mean,
that's a really good point, you know, and that's part
and we're trained shadow work is bad.
Yeah. And you know, see, now that day, this is what I was going to go into. You need to have that shadow work to actually get, like, I'm going to play it off the Tree of Life right now. If you want to get to Tiferet, you're going to have to do shadow work, you know, and at that point you are, I believe you're being able to at least be channeled and open up to something, either your higher self or God. And then you start going up the tree. But that stuff, fuck. What did you say again, Lux? How you explained what you just said? I'm sorry. I totally
spoke another one. Oh, I gotta stop
smoking. I'm fucking. Like, when you take those type of drugs, it's not about, you're not blaming other people. For some reason, when you take these types of drugs, it like gives you this crazy internal attack against your own ego. It's like,
yes,
you wrestle with yourself.
Awareness.
Yes. Yeah, that's what it is. Now, so, yeah, it attacks your ego. Now, in magic, to get to that point, to get to even obtain to that thing, you have to attack your own ego. Now, I think this is the point where how sometimes you say, I think you mentioned something about truths about yourself that you may even have to swallow and be like, fuck, you know? Yeah. There may be truths from this experience about this whole reality, about how you actually see it, that might change. That will, you know, this experience can change your paradigm, your whole understanding. If it changes, if it really does change, you have to understand this is serious. And this is the most important part, I think, when we're getting into the series, into this show. If you're really doing this stuff and you have a magical experience, I'm telling you, there's a very good possibility, and I think Dank and I think Lux, maybe Ghost to an extent, can agree. There's going to be something that is, you know, they talk about these downloads, and I hate that fucking phrase because it sounds so fucking shitty. But it is true. You will start to have these things of knowledge popping into your head. And the way it's going to happen is almost like a fucking Rolodex. Every single little fucking thing that you have learned in your life that has actually been showing you the same fucking thing that you've never once fucking seen is going to go through your face, and you're going to realize, I cannot ignore this. This is truth. And
they're called dreams.
That it may literally change the way you view reality. That you have, that I have viewed for 40 years, I had to realize was a lie. Now you're going to better make sure that you are at Tiferet when you come back, that you are balanced, because if you're not and your ego is trying to preserve the last 40 years of a belief that I held on to that I just realized is a lie, that is going to mind fuck the living fucking shit out of you. And that is going to be hard to deal with. And that's what I'm getting at. That is the one really negative part, I think, about the third eye that I was really wanting to push with this, as you can see, is that
you,
this
you
is
can put that in a negative way.
Well,
when you go to bed at night,
it will be freeing.
No,
you know, it will be a freeing experience, but you're going to have to really come to truths with some shit that might be hard.
Absolutely.
Hard.
And that's why we have the dreams that we do, because you go to bed with that on your consciousness. You're going to think of certain shit. You know what I mean? Like last night, I was carrying a fanny pack over my fucking chest. Like I was fucking Rambo and like
on Hangover.
Like in Hangover. And I'm like, I haven't carried a fanny pack since I went to fucking, you know, Niagara Falls in 1988 or 89, you know, when they were cool and they were neon green and what have you. And then the next thing you know, I'm sitting there, I'm trying to record a podcast in a fucking basement, which I don't. And all these distractions were coming through. You know, so your dreams become your reality to an extent, or is that your third eye opening to prepare you for what is coming?
Sometimes I kind of wonder if those types of dreams are simply another alternate reality.
Yeah.
Like this is something that's existing in another sphere on the tree of life. As wild as that might seem.
Yeah, but then I think with magic, if you're really gangster at it, that's where I think you can start fucking with that. And most of the
people, right.
Most of the people who would do are the ones that are rich and fucking us.
Right. And so you can kind of transverse these different dimensions. It's like a slightly different version of your own dimension that we call Earth, you know, or whatever. But these are expressions of different dimensions and like a different version of the reality.
Well, dude, there's so many, there's this really massive, and it's funny, I know why they are doing this, the push for spirituality, right? You know, when NY used the gangster the way that he did, it just reminded me of like these basic white bitches that will sit there and be like spiritual gangster. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, dude, it seems like they're doing that on purpose to make it like, oh my God, the worst people in the world are spiritual. And, you know, they're doing all this shit where they're showing their crystals and their chakra shit. But then there's some truth to it behind the scenes, right? I mean, there's absolutely some valuable information to learn about that. But it gets flooded with these basic fucking people that don't know a damn thing about it, and they want to spread information and make it like part of their identity, even though they're barely scratching the surface. And that ruins it for a lot of people.
And it's kind of like NY said earlier, it's all about the things that you know about it that really affects you when you're going into this. So if you don't know what the hell you're doing and you're doing this, you could be getting yourself into some very dangerous situations that you may affect the person around you, or may affect yourself. You may affect future events in your life. People don't understand about residual magic. They don't understand how the magnifications work. You know what I mean? That there's rules to this. And now you have all these podcasters all over the place, and Sam Tripoli and Joe Rogan came out practicing this stuff and pushing this stuff, not really knowing what they're doing. You know, exactly. I think what's going on is very dangerous. I think that the third eye is a very good tool. For me, I never had to try to extract it or open it per se. When it happens, sometimes it's terrifying. And just like my patron said, you know, when these things happen, it can change you. Everything about you is changing at that moment, and you can literally get lost. You can,
hey, you know what? And I'll
even fall into the other side of the mirror, into this parallel reality, and be swapped out with something else. And you may never be the same. In fact, you may be trapped in this other parallel.
I'll give you an example, and I'll admit that, you know, how this fucked me up. You know, and I'll even give another example. And it's not to say that, like, again, I'm not disregarding the whole thing with the third eye. I'm just saying that this can be, you know, this could just end up being, you know, something that might be hard for you to realize. For myself, I used to think, honestly, I'm going to be totally honest, that whole fucking flat earth or dome shit, I thought it was all a bunch of fucking just stupid, dumbest shit I've ever heard in my life. All right. Fucking around with magic and experiences that I've had, I've seen, things that I've felt, and things now that I've seen in magic literature. To me, I 100% believe this isn't a faith. People can say that they, all right, I know that's the difference between knowing and a belief in a faith. A belief in a faith is like, yeah, I kind of have an idea. It sounds cool. Most people, you know, with Jesus and you know, God and other things, yeah, they just have an idea and a faith of what it is. When you have an experience that makes it to where you know. When I came back from certain experiences with magic, to me, I believe and I know we are under a dome. If you decide to actually entertain that and consider that to be true, that is going to mind fuck the living shit out of you. Because you're really going to have to question, where the fuck are we? Why was that experience so good? And why the fuck am I stuck here? That is all stuff that is possible with opening your third eye. And I just think that it's people have to understand, you know, like I had, and I wish I should have thought of asking Ryan. I should have had Taylor on because she's a female and it would have been great to get a female perspective. I think this is the perfect thing. And I think this will even match up with something Dank would want to even agree with. The Akashic Records, that is her way of her talking about the abyss. And I think that's a great way to describe it. There may be times you might go in there and grab maybe a book of that fucking knowledge, and it might be shit you're not ready to fucking handle. You may not ready to be mentally fucking, you know, you're not mentally there to handle that shit, and it's going to fucking rock you a lot worse than if you have maybe waited, didn't push it, or, you know, kind of just did something else. You know, so things can happen that I think can, you know, in the long run will help you grow spiritually. But in order to swallow that fucking pill, it's going to take a whole lot of fucking chaos and change within your mind to accept it. And people need to understand that part.
Yeah. Depends on how
you cannot be of the weak or you will fuck up.
Well, they're trying to make people very weak right now, too.
Yes. Yeah. And I think they want to force those experiences on those people for control.
Mm-hmm. Right. And it's also been a very coordinated. I don't know. It's a plan. Like, it would be very stupid for us to not recognize that these guys have had this plan going on for a long time. To try to make sure that they can influence society to think certain ways. Like, I don't understand how people think that that's a conspiracy. It's bizarre to me because it's fucking obvious and it's happening right now. And people.
Well, we're talking about the third eye and opening it, right? And levels of awakening or whatever. Think those people, Lux, are probably just so far gone in the opposite direction of where a lot of people are trying to go. They're just so far asleep that it's just simply, I mean, there's no hope almost.
Yeah.
I get what you're saying with that, but at the same time, like, I'm never going to stop reaching out to those people.
Oh, sure. I'm right there, like, with you.
Yeah. Like, yeah. It's just, I see a lot of the conspiracy community or whatever. They're always trying to say that, well, we should just give up and just only focus on the people that already, they're already awake.
You know, yeah, the echo chamber show. Yeah.
I disagree with that.
And you know what? I'm going to be totally honest with you. And this is probably, you know, Lux maybe might actually agree with this. I don't know if we really ever talked about it that much, but for me, the reason why I even started my podcast is because, yes, I saw and realized how magic was being used on society through politics. I totally for sure saw that. But I also started it because I also see it in this industry.
Yeah. Dude, you know, it's funny that you say that too, Lux. I'm trying to get in. I'm going to work on something right now. I actually have the first episode at least written out, the script, but I need to do like visuals to it. But I'm trying to do like baby steps as far as like truth goes on for YouTube, like the shit that won't even get me canceled, but like really, really basic, like shit that I could tell any one of you guys and be like, oh yeah, no shit. But it's like, so like my first episode's about the New World Order. And I'm just going to do like 5, 6, 7 minute videos with a lot of visuals of people talking about, you know, the idea of creating a one world currency, a one world religion, you know, taking security away from people, getting rid of police. This is a plan that's been going on for so long. And so, you know, I think that it's what the way you said it, Lux, is perfect. I've been trying to reach out to people that don't side with me. You know, the show started out me and a skeptical liberal, you know what I mean? Couldn't be farther from the opposite. He happens to be my cousin, but you know, that was the old show. And that was the format. It was like, dude, we're going to debate these conspiracies. You know, I went a little too far in some of them where like, I was in the queue at first, you know, I thought it was fucking crazy. And I thought that there was a lot of things that made sense about it. He never did because he doesn't believe any of these things. Right? But then we start talking about like the vaccines. He literally thought that Bill Gates invented the polio vaccine. You know, and I was like, no, dude, it's Jonas Salk. You know what I mean? And like, so things like that, it's a fascinating thing. And, yeah, I get it. But dude, like these people, they tend to be college educated. They tend to be very, very smart. And I'm putting that in heavy quotes because they're book smart people. They follow the system, make it so their pride is so high. They can't have some dumb idiot like myself that barely graduated high school telling them anything about science. You know, I debated my other cousin a while ago. So I got a master's degree and she's a ICU nurse. She started crying because like she couldn't really fucking compute what I was saying. You know what I mean? So like these very intelligent people, I think are kind of in a fucking cult. And I told her that, and that's what kind of made her cry. I was like, you're in a cult. You trust Fauci. You trust this, you trust that, without really checking, you know, cross checking or anything. And I think that that's why I think that these people are lost for the most part. Now, yeah, we shouldn't stop reaching out to them and shit. But I mean, I've talked to a lot of non-believers in name a conspiracy. You know what I mean? I've talked to them about it.
Definitely. And I would I absolutely agree with everything you just said. It was just amazing to me because we had a listener who, you know, we've only had a podcast for like a year. And this guy reached out to us and he was like, dude, I was a far leftist, like, you know, 2 years ago. And he came
voted.
On. And
I think he said he voted even like Democrat, right? Or some shit like that. Like, I think he said Bernie Sanders and somebody was like his fucking, like, you know, his team.
Yeah.
Dude, I used to exactly. like Obama, believe it or not. I used to, I halfway through Obama's second term, I was like, dude, this dude's fucking killing it, man. You know what I mean? And then I start looking into him like, oh, like I thought Trump was a piece of shit when he started running. That's when a lot of people like us liked him, you know, and now a lot of people like us don't like him. So, I mean, I was right in the beginning, but for the wrong reasons, you know, right. He's a piece of shit, just like Obama's a piece of shit. They all are horrible at that level. But I liked Obama. I hated Trump. Now, when it came down to Hillary Clinton or Trump, I was going Trump because I knew a little bit about Hillary Clinton at the time even. But, you know, dude, yeah. So, yeah, people can absolutely change. But so, yeah, go. I don't know if you finished with your thought, Lux, but it's fascinating when you get people like that change over and tell you about it.
Well, dude, it's just it's amazing to see how, you know, just by sharing truth, because truth can't it's not subjective. It's concrete. It's just the way it is. Truth is concrete. And it's so amazing to see like people who were on one totally different side of things. And just, and I'm not even like giving us clout because of the podcast. It's just that people are starting to figure out the narrative.
That's because the internet, I will tell you that right now, the internet makes it so that a lot of people, like I talk about this pretty often actually, is that Lux, you and I can completely take the opposite side on something and we can both present data that 100% supports what we're saying. So you can say that VAXs are bad and I can say that this new VAX is good. And we both have mountains of data to support either side, right? Right. Because if you go with the official narrative, yeah, this whole thing is great. Never been more success to anything ever in the history of man. And then if you start looking into, like, you know, shit that is disinformation, you know, this is horrible. It's really bad what's going on. So it just depends what side you want to believe. And I mean, dude, you can go as far as like government sponsored websites are lying. But that's a very credible source to 90% of people, which is unfortunate.
All right.
And let me ask you this. Let's entertain this idea going on the whole dumbed down society, technology's rolling in. Everything that the third eye is downloads, everything we've been speaking on, and then put that into the concept of what Elon Musk is doing with the Neuralink chip on the brain and connecting it with an augmented reality where your body's in paralysis, you're in a matrix, which is a womb. Most people don't understand that, but that's why the movie was called The Matrix. You're literally in a matrix, you're in a womb, and you're in paralysis, and that's feeding you into the matrix system or whatever. So then ask yourself, if everything sounds like the third eye, you're almost astral projecting, you're in another world, what is that? What they mean by the pyramid with the third eye, is it them injecting you into this reality by a technology? I mean, it's got me wondering lately, like, what is the reason that it's on the brain, and why is it on the right side, the top right side of the brain? Are they covering, trying to tap into the third eye so that your body cannot tell that it's real or not? It's just things that I've been thinking about lately. If y'all want to give me y'all's thoughts on that.
Guys?
Well, you know, I guess just to try to make it to sound quick and easy, I mean, and then, you know, let Lux go. I mean, even with our Scarlet Horse series, I think the whole thing with that does show that, from my opinion, you know, if crossing over in magic, if you need to shed the flesh to an extent or tether at least, you do have to let go of the left side of the left pillar, you know, the left side. And then that would leave the male energy released from the female form going into spirit. So that would kind of represent the right side. But the thing is that I do believe when it comes down to it, when you're opening your pineal gland, that is then the middle pillar that is then shining down the middle part of your brain.
As it connects.
So like, in a way, what I'm saying is that through the right pillar, escaping the left pillar, you can open up the third eye. Maybe that can help you a little bit. But the way that that's how I see it.
It's fascinating.
I mean, wondered if Ra really just breaks down to an acronym for like right angle and shit like that, believe it or not. As silly as that sounds, if you were to start looking at like certain shapes and stuff used at the top of the tree, or thinking about like if you made a right angle three times, you'd come back to yourself, and that's when you take form. That's when the triangle starts. I mean, if you really want to start looking at the acronym RNA, you might find some commonalities with Ra.
That's a good little tidbit.
Yeah, and it's one of those out there things, but that was one of those things that came to me when I just happened to stop listening to shit and heard that one little voice and paid attention to it.
Yeah, well, and people might give you pushback on that idea of Ra being the right
angle. Sure, yeah, because it just feels too contemporary. I mean,
no. Well, the thing is, so what I think though is, like, you know, Matt says it all the time. A lot of people say this all the time. What is going on with my fucking screen here? My bad. Yeah. So what the English language clearly was, dude, it's just straight casting spells when you say things. So they could have based these new words off of these ancient gods, right?
That's what I was going to say too. Like, you know, it's Ra to us in English.
Yeah. Yeah. And well, and then English was created, it seems, to really, you know, do some shit. I think that, you know, everyone in the world, you know, it's a language of business, right? It's, you know, it's a fascinating thing because it's a goofy ass language when it comes down to it, but everyone fucking speaks it. Anyone that wants to do business speaks it. You know what I mean? So I don't know. There's something to it.
Right. And there have been drastic changes. When you look at the Hebrew language, it was totally revolving around the vibration of your voice, the you know, the frequency of the words that you were speaking. I mean, Hebrew is so fascinating. It's absolutely incredible. And I think it's something that people don't pay attention to. You know, like, who thinks of fucking Hebrew? God damn, that language is so beautiful. And there's so much hidden occult meaning behind that language. I think that if we understood it more, and sort of what Dank's talking about, we could understand the occulted meanings behind these words that we use in English and transfer them to Hebrew, and we would have a totally different opinion on what that actual word means.
Yeah, you know what? Here's another one that's out there, but I do believe, and Lux does believe too, maybe not this situation, but you believe, Lux, right, that the English language probably is occulted in itself, just like Ryan was saying. You know, those things, they neither symbols or shapes and stuff. This is even another way how I even thought of Ra, really, too. And it's silly, but like, I sometimes think of B as showing like the arc. That is the arc. You know, and I think a lot of electricity really comes down to magic. You know, that's why I even say sometimes riding the lightning, I think, is when you're believing yourself. I think that's exactly what Metallica was even talking about, riding the lightning. You're crossing the abyss. So now the letter B would show you grounded, a grounded arc. Now, to me, the R shows the break from it. You have broken out of that arc. And then the A could be the all-seeing eye, like right behind you. And now that, to me, that's how I can see you break out of that arc. You come ungrounded. Your soul goes out into the abyss to the all-seeing eye. And now you have the letter R and A.
Dude, you know what? You said something about, like, when you talked about the ride of the lightning. Were you about to say something, Jason?
No, you're good. You're good.
Okay, I didn't want to cut you off, but
I'm not saying that is, you know, I'm on point. But those are things.
No,
like,
dude, I think that your language. You're bringing up something interesting there, because it makes me think of like these old ways that people would get executed. You know, you think of the guillotine, hanging someone by their neck. It breaks their neck. They don't die by suffocating. They die by their neck being broken. So there's something really interesting when it comes to
the head from the body.
Yeah, separating the head from the body with the pyramid too, right? I mean, because the third eye thing up at the top there, the all-seeing eye, that's separated from the pyramid, right? So that's like the head of the pyramid being broken off. Now, when it comes to riding lightning, the electric chair, right? I mean, that's what another way that they used to kill people. Now, I wonder if that has some of the same components to it too, as like cutting someone's head off or breaking someone's, you know, spinal cord, disconnecting their brain from their body. I wonder if that has some sort of effect. I don't know if I'm way off there, but it just seems like there's too much symbolism.
I've actually looked at a lot of that. Believe it or not, this, because of Dank, because of Colorado Dank, you know, he pointed out a phrase that I never realized. I was like, fuck, that is actually an occult phrase to me. We don't smoke the same. You know, when you decide to leave your body in spirit to practice magic, you can represent that as in smoke. So, you know, maybe me and you don't smoke the same. Maybe I smoke by leaving out of my body. Maybe, Ryan, you smoke bowls of weed. But, fuck. See, now I forgot. Fuck.
There's many movies where you inhale the smoke and all of a sudden you go into the astral.
Yes. So now think about the gas chamber. Again, they're dropping a thing inside there, creating smoke that kills you. I've thought the same shit you've thought. Like, are these ways of supposed deaths by, you know, whoever, the state, the government, or, you know, whatever, these
trapping your spirit into the other world.
Is it really just ways of showing occultism in a sense?
Well, and the main way that they're using, that they're killing people now, they're
symbolizing the death of the soul by killing the person. You know what I'm saying?
Well, sure. And the main way that it's done now is lethal injection, right? I mean, you're basically making someone's heart stop beating. So there's no other way, you know, ancient cultures like the you know, the Vikings, especially, which I know are part of the heathens, and or I don't know much about that, but I know that the Vikings are like the warriors, right? And then you have like the Spartans and all this shit. They loved Native Americans of all kinds. They loved dying brutal ass ways. You know, there's something to that old culture. Like, they love dying brutally, and they're trying to make these, you know, humane deaths for these prisoners. It's interesting, you know, is there something to be said about dying in your sleep versus dying because you're standing up for something you believed in and you die brutally? You know what I mean? Like, it's just it's a fascinating concept that I just started thinking about because of that little phrase, ride the lightning.
Yeah. No, I've thought plenty of weird shit like that too.
Yeah. Crazy, dude. Sure. I don't know if we got much more to say, guys. If not, I mean, we can get wrapping up here. We went for about 2 hours, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, you know what? You know what I'll say? I think we'll wrap this up in a pretty cool way, Ryan, because sure. of that idea. You said you had an idea before, right, about making these short little videos.
Yeah.
Putting them out. Now, me and Lux yesterday were talking about we wanted to do something. And I had an idea where it was going to be more of an actual episode, but it was going to be an extra thing we put out. And then he had the idea, hey, how about we just break them down into small little episodes? And it's kind of like, you know, food for thought, but, you know, from just different angles of, you know, occultism, you know, whatever, covering certain things, but making it small and putting it out. And we were both like, yo, that's fucking awesome. And I think me and him both felt it at the time that, like, you get this feeling when you're like, yeah, this is right. This is going to work. You feel something behind it. All three of us had that same fucking idea and didn't tell each other. I mean, mm-hmm. you.
Yeah.
You know, was that at some point all three of us tapped into that one same source that gave us that both, you know, it gave us that same inspirational idea?
Yeah. I mean, it's very possible.
You know, so maybe there, you know what I'm saying? So maybe, you know, there is some magic going on with you, just very, you know, baby steps.
Yeah, I think that it could be very possible. And it's interesting when you think about something or when you think of someone and then you see them, you know, directly after that you hadn't seen, or you think of someone, they text you or call you or whatever. That's interesting, right? But, you know, and maybe this is me being ignorant, but I feel like, you know, being awoken would be much more significant than things like that. Because you can also chalk those up to flukes, right? Real, no, logically.
No, I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying. Yeah.
So, you know, that's what I'm saying, though, man. And like, I'm not, you know, maybe I'm a little too, I don't want to say realistic. Maybe I'm just like a little too like, it's not going to happen for me. And maybe I'm not seeing what's right in front of my face, quite frankly. I mean, that's very possible. I think it happens to a lot of people. But I don't know, man. I think that it's just an interesting topic. And I think that a lot of people need to, you know, at least pay attention to it in some way, you know, because there is, I mean, magic's very real, man. There's something very real to it. And I think that it has a lot to do with, you know, getting yourself to be more experienced in this life, in this realm, whatever you want to call it. So, yeah, it's an interesting topic, dude.
I have two things I can add real quick because I finally remembered. there was too many people talking before. Okay, so think about it like this. I mean, you can look at it through different religions. Shiva, Ra, Osiris, you know, all these different places. Well, in the Bible, there's two different people that I was going to bring up. So Jesus, first of all, he came to the guy that was doing the plow. It's called the plow story. And he said, hey, come with me. He disappeared and said, hey, come with me. Dude looked back at the physical world. And then he turned around, he was gone. He said, you're not ready to come with me to the heavens because you can't let go of the physical. And that was his one chance. So he had to separate the physical to be with the spiritual. And he couldn't do that. So then you have Enoch. So Enoch wrote the, he was visited by Amos, A-M-O-S, an angel. And he wrote down the Enochian tablets. From what I understand, correct me if I'm wrong, still getting into all this. I mean, it's a cult for a reason. It's hard to find all the knowledge. First of all, the seal of God on John Dee's table and on the four legs, the table literally set on the seal of God was made of beeswax. Now, the bee was, and it was, it's a very occultic symbol because it's linked to the magical crossing over, the bridge between the worlds. And so he made it so that there was no connection to the actual physical. That's why a table of light set on those seals. And then he had the one in the center. And I believe what he was doing is just like Enoch was the only person to that we know of, story real or not, was the only one that ascended went with God or Yahweh and never died. And I think that could be because he's maybe the only person we have on record that fully ascended beyond, open up the lotus, you know, however you want to say it, but he fully ascended out of his body and he completely disappeared.
My dude.
It's a lot to think about. So then when you think about John Dee, I think what he was doing was he was trying to follow the same Enochian magic so that he too could go get divination, remote viewing, but he was maybe not able to because he was not as pure of heart and he was not able to fully expand into that. But I do believe that the reason they had the Table of Light was to transcend time, to go into this other realm of ascension and seek knowledge. And then that's why all this information was kept so secret, was because they wanted to have this knowledge that they know about. And I mean, just let me know what y'all think about that. I mean, it's
dude, it's I couldn't agree with you more, man.
Yeah, it's just it's all about separation of the physical. But I believe, like NY said earlier, you have to have an inner peace. You have to cleanse yourself, your mind, your spirit. You have to be of a certain type of person for this to go that route. If you're evil, I believe, then that evil side of you will take over. That energy will continuously grow to be evil. And I believe that's where the story of Lucifer came in, fallen from heaven. His evil grew within him, and that's why he couldn't be in the heavens. You know, I've brainstormed on this a lot. It makes sense. So that evil that grew, that little drop of evil would just continue to expand and feed off of this angelic energy or just to be in this state. And that's why Yahweh says, we are not from here. I'm the Alpha and the Omega. I was here before. I'll be here after. I'm not of this world, because he is in the spiritual world, not the physical. He has pure of heart, I guess. That's the way that I would chalk it up. Mm-hmm. And that if you're on this world, they always say we're unclean because we are connected to the spiritual world. I mean, we're not connected to the spiritual world. We're connected to the physical world.
Material, yeah.
If you can't let go of the material, well, then you're stuck here. You're in the divide.
Well, dude, that's what these atheists and these communists and socialists, you know, and if you think that I'm out of line for comparing them and grouping them all together, I mean, Saul Alinsky grouped them all together, you know, and he's the hero of those people. So, you know, this is, yeah, and Hillary Clinton. Right? So, you know,
Trump.
Yeah, dude, exactly. So they want you to be all materialistic. They believe in materialism. So, you know, if you can't enter the spiritual realm while being connected to the material realm, I mean, dude, there's no way that you could ever get to the spiritual realm, because everyone is connected to the spiritual, or I'm sorry, to the physical, to the material realm.
It's
so.
A prison planet. Yeah. It's
yeah.
A prison planet. You're locked in here. You can't ascend. You can't escape here. Even whenever you die, you're still here. You're mm-hmm. trapped. That's why I believe they call it prison planet. Only a few people. I mean, literally, I think Enoch is only one that's actually wrote down that actually ascended and disappeared from this planet, because he mm-hmm. had a full ascension. So whether that's real or not, they sure believe it. The occult does. I mean, that's why they're into the Enochian magic.
That's why they don't have the book of Enoch in the Bible too, right? Probably.
That's why they removed it. They didn't want people to know about it. That's my beliefs. That's what I'm getting into the more that I read into it. And then alchemy, the physical, they're mixing the physical with the spiritual, and they're trying to get the forbidden knowledge that way. And I think that has a lot to do with it too, because alchemy is mainly of the physical world, and then you're putting the spiritual world together to manipulate the I believe the molecular, everything around the Table of Light, I believe, is actually physically changing, and they're actually able to transcend. That's what I think. I think it's a forbidden way. I think that it's they keep it from us, but it's also forbidden knowledge for a reason.
Right. They understand those principles. They have total understanding on how things work, and they use it to manipulate the entire public.
Yep.
Dude, you're so spot on with that.
Dude, we got the Super Bowl coming up too. They use these rituals, right? And this is going to be a massive ritual that we're about to see here right around when this episode gets released.
It's already began. The commercials, I saw one with, I saw one that they're supposed to be doing with was it Alexa, and how Alexa literally was reading their minds. I believe they're trying to use technology to tap into our third eye, to close it off and to actually feed information into our brain. That's why they want us dumbed down. And I think that's why they want to put the chip on us, because they believe if they can control our brain and control this third eye, then they can control us completely, our spirit and our physical.
Good shit.
Maybe I'm wrong, but I've done a lot of thought.
No, dude, honestly, I think that's a fucking great spot to end off, because that's something for people to think about, right? That's a think great. And this.
If you're an avatar, you're a god. And now people may say that the Bible is completely manipulated. You can't believe any of it, New Testament, Old Testament, or maybe just not the New Testament. But I've seen a lot of stuff in the New Testament that could be manipulated, or most definitely is. And then I see some things that it bears fruit. And I think that's where spiritual discernment comes in, using your third eye to see through the lies
that
you put in there.
And get it, dang.
No, you're right. You're right. You're right. So when you open up that third eye, you'll see through all the bullshit and you'll see how the story makes sense.
But if they can control your third eye, then they can keep you in this prison forever. I mean, think about it. If you're in this metaverse, you go to die. It says that the things that become upon the earth, you will seek death, but it will literally run from you. It will escape you. So imagine if they were to get to the tree of life, make us all immortal somehow using technology with the nanotech, control our third eye. You won't be able to die. They'll be able to control what you're seeing in this lucid dream that they're going to create for you. It's all a false reality, but it is lucid dreaming. I mean, you're literally going to be in paralysis and have an outer body experience. I mean, Musk has already said this. He said 50% of your mind or your consciousness, he used the word consciousness, will be in the cloud, maybe a little bit more, and the rest of it will be in your body. So just think about that. That is an out-of-body experience. And they're going to be projecting this with technology the same way they're doing everything else with technology, like Lux was saying with the Colorado frequencies that they're putting out. So they're literally controlling every aspect of the spiritual side through technology. And I think that is that's where things get evil. I think that's where the evil comes in. So, sorry. I know that's a lot of information.
That's a mic drop. Fuck yeah.
Well, dude, you know, you said lucid, right? I mean, lucid dreaming, it sounds like, right when you hear that, I've heard the word before, but it sounds a lot like Lucifer, and it comes from the Latin verb lucere, if I'm pronouncing that right. My Latin isn't the best, but it's pretty easy to speak, lucere. It means to shine, which is reflected in its meanings, filled with light or shining. So lucid dreaming means that you're shining according to its own origination. That's fucking weird, dude.
And it would make
look at the movie, The Shining. The Shining.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You
watch that movie, and when that black dude is talking to that kid,
mm-hmm.
you hear their conversation of the shine, and then you just even think about things we've discussed here.
1,000 points.
You'll understand exactly what they're talking about. And mm-hmm. think about what we were talking about here, and think about the fucking little round circle behind fucking Jesus and Mary's head. Maybe that's a shine.
Dank is spot on. Everything that Dank said is killer. Like he's on it.
That was good, man.
If people really want to get to like the heart of this episode, whew, that's the one you should listen to. Like that's killer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good shit. Good shit.
Thank you, guys. I had an amazing time. Thank you so much. I really looked forward to this. Great.
Yeah, episode. Me too, man.
And I'm glad you guys released this on my end.
Absolutely. Real. Yeah, you guys have access to it. Let's go around the horn. I'm going to read Ghost little things here just because he had to leave. It was his bedtime. So, I mean, you can find Ghost, who was here earlier, at the My Third Eye podcast. His Instagram is just My Third Eye. Is there a podcast in his Instagram? You tell me. Let me check.
He is on Instagram, yeah.
Well, he is on Instagram. Okay, so My Third Eye Podcast is his IG. Jason.
Sorry, bro. Yeah, man. Like I said,
like a kid in class that got called on right now, dude.
What's that?
You look like a kid in class that got called on. I was just asking for your plugs.
No, you caught me off guard.
Yeah, plug away, dude.
Colorado_dank99 I always tell people, you know, take everything I put out there with a grain of salt. I'm a grain of salt. I'm trying to provoke thought. I'm trying to ask questions that other people are unwilling to ask and try to make sense of it. Movements like for example, I'm working on right now is the emergence of religions and how all of a sudden there's this Christ consciousness that's being pushed, and it I'm putting it next to Hinduism, and it's almost like I can lay them on top of each other. You know, they're almost identical with this new age Christ movement, which also I've linked into the Quran, because you have Krishna. Krishna's an avatar of, believe it was Vishnu. So, I mean, I'm getting into that kind of stuff. And then I'm also crossing it over to the metaverse and how everything that's happening right now is not by accident. And I believe Joe Rogan, Chappelle, all these comedians that can't be touched, and they're being put in the spotlight, but they keep saying this stuff without getting canceled. It kind of makes me wonder what they're actually pushing and why they're pushing this stuff. So if y'all want to see that, you know, hit me up, DM me, whatever. If I have time, I'll hit y'all back.
Yeah, I didn't like every one of us said, you know, it's the greatest Instagram page that you guys aren't following if you're not there. There's a lot of good stuff there. And you did share a lot of great information here, man. So thanks for hopping on. Thanks for your unique perspective, as always. Lux, what about you, man?
Well, I have a new podcast starting up. It's called the Lux Rising Podcast. It's going to be badass.
Of course.
Not because of my own content, because of people who are coming on. And also, like, the shit that I'm trying to start up that's going to give a different perspective on things that people might not have considered. Concerning like the paranormal and other stuff like that. So
cool, man.
Can't wait for it. And of course, you know, I'm one half of the Occult Rejects, and hell yeah. Like
man,
I'm into that podcast as much as I can.
Yeah, dude, it's a great show, obviously. And you know, I'm glad that you're doing yet another show, man. It's always cool when people get out and they do their own shit and just, you know, kinda, you know, adding more voices in different unique ways is always really cool, dude. So same as NY Patriot here.
Yeah. No, I'm happy. Cause you know what? The dude loves what he's doing. And if there's stuff that our show is holding him back from doing, he's going to do it on his show. It's fucking amazing.
Yeah.
That's what it's about. Following your dreams and doing what you love. Fucking do it, Lux. You know, and I'm sure he's going to cover shit completely different way that our show and my show does.
Yeah, so that's what's cool, man. So,
plug in my boy.
Yeah, dude. And New York, you do the same thing, man. So plug your stuff. Obviously, Occult Rejects.
We got the Occult Rejects on the other half. We're on BitChute, Rumble. Like I said, YouTube again. It's called Tor and More. The link will be like with our Occult Rejects stuff. And we're all major podcasts for now.
Fuck yeah! Awesome work.
The NY Patriot Show. Same thing.
And the NY Patriot Show. Dope, dude. Well, thank you guys for hopping on, of course.
Yeah, no, I had a blast. Thank you so much.
Definitely, dude. And then, you know, I'm Ryan, Dangerous World Podcast. Dangerous World Podcast is on Patreon. We're on YouTube. Got a tiny little YouTube channel. So, yeah, guys, patreon.com/Dangerous World Podcast. That's where you really find me. So thank you guys for hopping on. And I think that this was a cool conversation, man. We'll definitely be doing more things like this in the future.
Definitely. Thank you.
Yeah, man. Good time.
For sure.